much about.
You got to put it in perspective.
All right, Bean. I'll tell you what we can do with the Christmas tree. To leave all the ornaments on it, leave all the lights on it, and shove it up your ass.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Anyway, it's going to be solid Christmas music tonight.
Damn, is it Christmas already that we need sweaters and it's winter time? So anyways.
What about our Jewish fans out there? They're out there. We know you're out there. And we love you. And we love Canners. Go to Canners every night. My favorite restaurant, even though they raise the prices.
Do you think the world would be a better place, you guys, if we had Christmas every day?
What do you think?
No.
And now.
Want to do something special for your woman this Christmas? Schedule her pap smear. Pap smears save lives. Give her the gift that even Santa can't deliver. CBS Cares.
Our feature presentation.
I wasn't going to let you know ahead of time, Lisa, what I got you.
Really?
I got you a pap smear.
A pap smear.
It's because I care, baby.
Okay, well, thank you, I guess. I would have rather had a goat, but...
That was an actual campaign that they ran to encourage you to get a pap smear for your woman for Christmas. Now, what are the range of reactions to that gift for a young lady in a relationship?
There's
with
really
a man?
No range.
Right.
There's just the one, right? I never want to see you again.
There's just the packet and walk it out.
Yes, that's it.
That's pretty much all there is. Hey, party people, welcome into another all-new Kevin and Bean Show, this time for a Wednesday, December the 18th, the final Kevin and Bean Show.
Yay!
Now, did I hear you telling Muggs that you almost started your vacation this morning, Lisa, instead of tomorrow?
Unlike you, mister, I have to work till Friday, so this is not my last day.
You're going to be in here with just you and Muggs tomorrow making googly eyes at each other?
Yes. And he said he didn't have his present for me, but he would get it to me tomorrow. Better
Which is
to
also,
be done in private. So.
It's also a pap smear.
Good.
But what you're not supposed to do it. It's supposed to be a doctor.
Damn it.
You misunderstood, Muggs. Did you oversleep? Is that what
I did.
This
is
about?
I don't know. I can't remember the last time I did this. I don't think I have done this in years and years, but I know I hit the snooze, but I must have hit something else because nothing else ever went off on my alarm. And at 4:40, and I leave the house at 5, which for a guy doesn't sound like much, but you know, we have guests coming in and stuff, so I had
I'm looking at 20 minutes from the time you wake up to the time you leave. I'm thinking, what do you do with the other 15?
Yeah, right. But I had to get my lunch together, or breakfast in this case, get Rudy or Boner outside, get dressed, put on makeup, brush my teeth. I had a lot to do, and I forgot my cell phone. No watch, no rings, no earrings, so yay me.
Considering how long we've been doing this job, I honestly don't remember a time that you've ever overslept.
I don't think I have. I just have that internal clock. Even if my alarm didn't go off, I always check at it. I mean, I remember checking it at 3 almost every morning.
Because, you know, Kevin is pretty famous for being late.
Yes, yes.
Ralph oversleeps every couple of months, it seems like.
Mm-hmm.
Muggs has certainly been late before. I don't remember you ever being late for this show.
And I wasn't late today either.
Yeah, no, you weren't.
As it turns out, I think flat tires of all that have ever derailed me.
Hey, real quick, I just wanted to mention I'm very disappointed. I did not win the Mega Millions jackpot last night, the 600 and whatever it was, $36 million.
Yeah. Or you wouldn't be here.
They sold two winning tickets. One was in San Jose, and the other was in Atlanta. And I heard a report on the news today talking about how those people are going to have a lot of friends. A lot of people are going to be coming around. And there's this phenomena that I guess I'd never really heard put into words before, that your friends and even casual acquaintances will believe that since you got so lucky and won the lottery and you have all this money coming to you and you didn't earn it, that you are therefore obligated to share it with them.
Really?
And I had never heard that explained that way before. Because you know how there are, you know, everybody you've ever met in your life comes around when you're in the news for having that much money.
Yes.
But apparently they're really, people get really ticked at you if you don't give them money. As if you have any obligation whatsoever to give your money away.
Well, okay, if you won that, would you feel obligated, not to friends so much, but to family who maybe needed something? Or I guess it's even family who doesn't need anything.
I would not feel obligated. However, there is no question in my mind that I would absolutely give them a lot of money.
Yeah. I would too, and I would feel obligated.
Well, here's a guy named Tom Crist, who last May, he's a Canadian, last May he was on a business trip in California. He was golfing with some friends in Palm Springs, and the phone rang. And it was the lottery in Western Canada where he lives, telling him he had won $40 million. He's in the news right now because he had a year to come forward, and Canada, their lottery has a couple of differences than some states in the United States where, A, by the way, no taxes on your lottery winnings in Canada.
Really?
So $40 million is $40
million. That's unbelievable.
But B, you're required to come forward and have a press conference and have your face and name be used. So he couldn't stay anonymous. So he waited 7 months. He just came forward this week.
Okay.
What's fascinating about his $40 million is he is giving all of it away. Every penny of $40 million. He and his children are going to pick charities to donate the money to. He's wealthy, by the way.
He must be. He must be really wealthy.
I've been fortunate throughout my career, 44 years with my company. I did very well for myself. I've done enough that I can look after myself, look after my kids. They can get looked after in the future. I really don't need the money. So he's giving away all $40 million. His kids said, hey, I understand you're not wanting to come forward, but why did you give us the heads up that you'd won $40 million? He said, I just wasn't sure how to tell you that I won all this money and that I was going to give it away.
Probably those kids would tell other people, too. Don't you think? That would never stay a secret.
He's a guy, by the way, in case you're curious, if there's a secret to winning the lottery, he's a guy who had a subscription to lottery tickets. He was playing two different games where he would just pay, you know, on a credit card every year. So he never bought a ticket. He never checked a number. He just got checks in the mail whenever he won. He says he's occasionally gotten a $10 or $20 check in the mail. But the surprise phone call of $40 million was not something he ever expected.
Why would a man like that play the lottery?
I don't know.
Since he has so much money.
Because there's no fun in it for him. Mm-mm. The fun is going out and buying the ticket and dreaming about it and checking the numbers and all of that, I would think. But this guy, it's like an afterthought.
Hmm. But, well, it's very cool that he's doing that.
Yeah, he's wealthy, but still, you're still giving away $40 million. And that's still pretty darn impressive.
Yeah, it really is.
All right, let's talk about today's final Kevin and Bean show of 2013. Shall we?
Yeah. Check. Check. Level. Test. Looking good. Looking good on the audition.
We're fine. Mugs.
Looking good on the audition. Looking great on audition.
Everything's good. Everything's working.
Low in the shore. Lower in the shore.
I don't know what that means.
SM58. Level test.
Now you're just bad.
Oh, God.
Come on, Mugs.
That's good enough.
It's good enough.
It's good enough. That's Mugs.
An action-packed show today. You just heard us talking to Dave Koechner from Anchorman. We're going to talk to one of his co-stars in Anchorman 2, Steve Carell, joins us next hour on the Kevin and Bean Show.
He's the best.
And some of our very favorite all-time guests all making appearances on the program today. Our old friend Bobcat Goldthwait will be here. Joe Rogan will be here. Jimmy Kimmel will be here.
Yes.
And I understand Jimmy is carpooling with a very special friend, Santa Carl.
Yay! That means it's Christmas.
That means it's Christmas. Santa Carl. The kids will get a chance to talk to him in the 8 o'clock hour today. That's all on the way. Plus, Ralph's got the showbiz beat, and that's next. Hey! Ho and hey. Hey and ho. It's Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ. Hey, don't forget, once again, all this week, we're giving away tickets to Grinchmas. It's Grinchmas, right?
Grinchmas.
Grinchmas, right?
Grinch, like the Grinch who stole Christmas. Plus Universal Christmas equals Grinchmas.
Studios Hollywood, details at KROQ.com. We'll have them for you in the 6 o'clock hour. So next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Also, we'll talk to Steve Carell. And Ralph, you're going to help me get the Kevin and Bean Show into the Guinness Book of World Records coming up right at the top of the hour.
Oh, am I now?
Yes, you are. Very excited about that.
Does it involve drinking?
It doesn't. Why, have you already started?
Then I'm out. Not interested.
Is today a Guinness day for you, Ralph, being the last day of work?
Yes.
Okay. It's going to get sloppy by 8 a.m. then.
Yes!
Time for the showbiz beat now. Here's Rob.
Forbes magazine, whose job, as we know now, is only to publish lists.
Yes.
Has released their list of the highest earning actors in Hollywood for the past year. These are people who have starred in movies who have made a lot of money.
All right.
So you take all of the box office generated by their films and you add it up, and that gives you your place on the list. I think you'll be surprised at who's number one.
I think I will.
Number 10 is Jennifer Lawrence. Her films made $700 million in 2013.
Okay.
Chris Hemsworth, you can imagine. He's freaking Thor.
Right.
$701 million. Oh, Jennifer Lawrence is so pissed. She got edged out by $1 million.
Just a few more people would have gone.
John Goodman, eighth on the list, $743.
Now, what was
million dollars.
What was he in this year?
Well, he had his Monsters U.
Oh,
that was
right.
a monstrous hit for him.
Got to remember he the animated film.
Also
right.
in Argo.
Right.
Did that film as well, which also did very well. Billy Crystal, seventh on the list. I'm assuming it's the same with The Monsters U. He was also the star of that film. Paul Walker, the late Paul Walker, sixth on the list with $789 million.
And that's all Fast and Furious, right? That's
yeah.
about all he did.
Sandra Bullock was fifth. $862 million generated by her films.
That's Gravity and The Heat, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Vin Diesel. Vin Diesel.
Really?
Fourth, $887 million.
Jeez.
Steve Carell, who we'll be talking to later on in today's show. $964 million generated by his films.
Wow.
That's a lot.
Despicable Me 2,
yeah.
Yep.
Robert Downey Jr., second on the list. $1.2 billion from the movies that RDJ starred in. He is a good bet. You want to make a movie and you want people to go see it? He's a good bet. And who thinks number one on the list? Number one money-making.
Farrah Abramson.
Star. Kevin, shut up! I don't want to hear another word out of you for the rest of the show.
I have to recuse myself on this one because I did see this story.
Beans on first?
First.
But I don't want to take away the fun from the rest of the room.
It's none of the typicals. It's not a Tom Cruise.
It's not, no. He's not even
not
on
much,
the list.
Yeah.
Not even showing up. Nobody cares.
It's a surprise. And I'll give you a hint,
Bradley
Lisa. It's not,
Cooper?
It's
no.
not a, it's not a voice actor. It's not an anime. It's not one of those.
Yeah.
Real live
Real
person.
Real live. Boy or girl. It's a guy.
Seacrest. Ryan Seacrest. Yep. It's a man, Lisa. It's not a boy nor a girl. It's a man.
Jesus Christ.
No, he was not in any movies this year.
I'm Lieutenant Frank Drebin.
Frank Drebin, also not in the running this year.
I'm Mayor Rob Ford.
No?
I don't have any good guesses.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
What?
Combined ticket sales of his movies, Snitch, G.I. Joe Retaliation, Pain and Gain, and Fast and Furious 6 netted $1.3 billion, Lisa.
Oh, my God.
How about that?
So
never would have guessed
Dwayne
that.
The Rock Johnson in your movie.
Yeah.
Not bad for a jock.
Want good things to happen. Speaking of movies, Warner Brothers has announced they're working on a Gilligan's Island remake for the big screen. Gilligan's Island the movie. Yay! Yay! Word is it will star Josh Gad from the Book of Mormon. And that show, he played the son of the president, but the wacky son of the president.
1600
oh, yeah.
Pen.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think that's where I started to hate him.
Oh, come on.
I
never saw
good.
The show, but
him.
I saw the saw
now
the
Now he's also
it,
the voice of
him.
A wacky snowman in Frozen.
Yeah,
he's
I don't
wacky.
I don't,
he's got a
I don't like
carrot
him.
Nose.
I don't like him. Who would he play? He'd have to play the skipper, right? He's a lard, right?
Well, I'm assuming he'd play Gilligan.
Really?
There's no rule that says Gilligan has to be skinny.
I guess that's true.
You're rebooting the franchise. You can remake it in any image you want.
I suppose so, yeah.
But the question needs to be asked. Gilligan's Island, the movie?
Right. I love Gilligan's Island, by the way. I love that show.
Oh!
Honestly.
Okay.
Just don't know how interested I am in seeing other actors play them in a movie.
Listen, I've often said this, that TV projects based on personalities and beloved actors, especially comedies, which a lot of that is a response to the audience. The audience's response to that person in that role and the whatever personality that is that they brought to it, is hard. You're hard-pressed to translate that into a remake, I think. It's been proven time and time again. Even great actors like Steve Carell, when he tried to do Get Smart, everybody fell in love with Don Adams as Maxwell Smart. It was just there was no goodwill carried over from the TV show to the movie.
Right.
And they did it with the Beverly Hillbillies. They tried it over and over and over again to take these 60s shows and turn them into movies. And it's rarely a success.
Adam's Family, that one worked, I guess, but then...
But that's a high concept kind of thing, too. It's like, you know, kooky people living in a house, you know, who are monstrous, basically, you know?
Right.
I don't know.
Most of them work out like Bewitched.
Yeah, yeah. Boy, that was a bad trip. The musical lineup for Dick Clark's New Year's Rockin' Eve with Ryan Seacrest has just been announced. At one point, do we take Dick's name off the franchise? Really?
Currently not yet.
I think the transition has been made. I think we all understand that it's Ryan's show now.
Do you? With the title Dick Clark's New Year's Rockin' Eve with Ryan Seacrest?
No, I'm agreeing with you. I think it's time to let that go. I think the transition is complete.
Yeah, I think so, too.
This is what everybody's been waiting for.
I hope Dick comes out again this year, because it's one of my favorite parts of the show is when he
They better have a hologram. At some point, they better give us a hologram.
I'm literally here. I'm a hologram.
Talk about energy. Boy, you feel it in the air.
Yeah, again.
Here's the list if you want to watch. Blondie will be performing. Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, thank
God. I thought it was New Year's Rockin' Eve 2014. I didn't know it was New Year's Rockin' Eve 1984.
Yeah.
Icona Pop.
I love it.
I'm sorry, can I hear that again?
I love it.
Macklemore and Ryan Lewis.
Sure.
Miley Cyrus will do her thing just before the ball drops at midnight, according to this press release.
Awesome. For the whole family?
She'll be twerking the ball there in Times Square. West Coast portions of the show that are all pre-taped. Capital Cities, Daughtry, Jason Derulo, Fallout Boy, Florida Georgia Line, Ariana Grande, Jennifer Hudson. Jay Hutz! Enrique Iglesias, Robin Thicke, and The Fray. Fergie is going to host the West Coast portion of the
show.
She's the best.
You mean,
by that, you mean the best.
Have you watched her do it? She's horrible.
Yeah, she's a nightmare.
What will Lady Gaga do to entertain the world?
Oh, man. Maybe they should keep the name on there. Speaking of New Year's Eve, if you'd rather do something else other than watch that show, down in Orange County in Brea, Kevin Smith and I are doing Hollywood Babylon, doing two shows on New Year's Eve, a dinner show at 7:30, and then the Ring in the New Year show at 10 o'clock. If you'd like to come out and check us out and Ring in the New Year with us, we'd love to have you at the Brea Improv. You can go to improv.com and click on Brea for all your ticket details. But
God damn it, no!
Come on.
No!
Be there. It's going to be fun.
None of that is true.
It is true. Today's celebrity birthdays. Guitarist Keith Richards of the Rolling Stones is 70 years old today. Steven Spielberg, he's 67. Ray Liotta, 58 years old today. Brad Pitt is 50. Rachel Griffiths, 45 years old today. Casper Van Dien from the legendary film Starship Troopers, he's 45. DMX celebrates his 43rd birthday. DJ Lethal of Limp Bizkit is 41. Katie Holmes is 35. And Christina Aguilera, she's 33 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Joe Rogan on the program today. Also, our old friend Jimmy Kimmel will be here, and Bobcat Goldthwait. Oh, Santa Carl stopping by to talk to the kids in the 8 o'clock hour this morning as well. All right, Ralph Garman, how you feeling? You feeling like you're ready to make a world record attempt here?
What's going on? What's happening here? Why'd you call me in? What's happening?
I was watching a show the other day. It was that, what's it called? That Paul F. Tompkins podcast show that he does on video. It's very funny. And he had Key and Peele on. And he brought up what I thought was a fascinating world record, which is most impressions in 60 seconds. And apparently the record is 31, which is about an impression every 2 seconds. So they're very quick impressions.
Yeah.
It is hard, yeah. He brought this up when he had as his guests Key and Peele, very popular actors, and have the viral video series as well. And I think you're a better impressionist than those guys are.
Wow, that's saying something. They're good.
And I thought it might be fun, and I prepared two different attempts at this, two different lists. I thought it might be fun to see how close we can get to the record. They didn't get anywhere near it, by the way. I think the timer ran out on them at like 23 or something like that.
Oh, well, it's hard. That's a 2 second impression. How do you make
it? It is very hard.
How do you do
it's very hard.
2 seconds.
But you're a guy who. What's the story
you're
on
a
you?
Guy
by
who
the way?
I don't know your name.
What's the story on you? How old
were
you, Ralph?
On you?
When you realized that you could do impressions?
I started at a very young age. I started in grade school doing impressions of popular cartoon characters for my friends at recess and lunchtime, and that's when I realized I had an knack for it. It's nothing I take credit for. It's a weird quirk. It's like being able to touch your tongue with your nose. It's just some sort of genetic defect where you're able to do this party trick.
So when you hear a voice on the TV or whatever, you just kind of automatically know how to make those sounds with your mouth.
Not really, but I usually have a pretty good idea, and then I start playing around with it, and then I listen and listen and listen. Eventually, sometimes I can hone in on something reasonably close.
Do you remember what the first one was you ever did?
I believe it was Yogi Bear. The cartoon character Yogi Bear, I believe, was the first voice I ever did.
And that
hey,
boo-boo,
a picnic basket. Oh, it's Ranger Smith. I used to do that quite a bit.
And you're like, you know, eight or something. That makes you pretty popular at school, I guess.
I was like six. I was the man. I got all the tail.
All right. Well, let's give it a try. Like I said, we've got two run-throughs at it. I thought this might be fun because we do enjoy your voices. And there's going to be some voices in here maybe you haven't done before. So. Muggs, what do you got for me for a clock?
I got a one-minute clock.
All right. 1 minute.
So you're
going to
call
60
seconds. Out the names and I'm going to do the impressions?
Absolutely. Yes.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yeah, ready.
All right. Hit me, Muggs. Bill Cosby. Charlton Heston. G.W. Bush.
Well, no, that's Reagan. Freshy.
Mr. T.
Pity the Fool.
Michael Caine.
I am Michael Caine.
Matthew McConaughey.
Be cooler if dead.
Oprah Winfrey.
Australia!
Clint Eastwood.
Yeah.
Meatloaf. James Brown.
Get on the good foot.
Don King.
Only in America.
Peter Griffin.
Ryan.
Homer Simpson.
Don't.
Scooby-Doo. Bill Belichick. Bobby McFerrin. Bobcat Goldthwait. Nelson Mandela.
I was doing current Nelson Mandela at the end.
I'm going to give you credit for current Nelson Mandela.
How many are we?
All right, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. That was 18.
Oh,
you know what? If you gave him the list.
Boo. Oh, absolutely.
He could do
he had the list
he could
ahead
do 30
of time.
And, yeah.
Yeah, I was just I'm kind of doing it the way that I saw Tompkins do it on the show this week because I thought it was funny to throw them out. But you're right. For speed, if we're really just going for speed, you ought to have the list ahead of time because then I think you could nail it.
That was awesome, Ralph.
All right, you up for trying it one more time?
All right, now that I know how it's played, I'm warmed up.
Yeah, you're warmed up now.
It's
exactly.
Early in the morning. All right.
All right. 60 seconds on the clock. Whenever you're ready, Beer Mug. William Shatner. Rihanna.
Ow!
Big Bird.
Mr. Hooper.
Danny Trejo.
Machete.
Miley Cyrus.
It's pretty cool.
Frank Sinatra.
Scooby-Dooby-Doo.
Mike Tyson.
Spinal.
Robin Williams.
Oh my goodness.
Queen Elizabeth.
I say, but my royal subjects.
Kanye West.
I'm a creative genius.
Gollum.
My precious.
Tom Cruise.
I like women.
Dave Chappelle.
I quit.
Ronald Reagan.
Well.
Bill Clinton.
I did not have sex with that woman.
Christopher Walken.
I need more cowbell.
Jack Nicholson.
Let me tell you something.
Tracy Morgan.
I got everybody pregnant.
Oh. Very well done. All right. 1, 2, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. 18 again.
That seems to be my glass ceiling.
Yes, he's the magic number. Well, we can always try again next week. By the way, incredibly impressive.
Yes.
To not only think of something to say, but to also be able to come up with the voice.
Not that impressive. I've done better work. But not as quickly, that's for sure. No.
And that song right there is why K-Rock is the station that everyone can agree on at work. Rage Against the Machine to get you going here on a Wednesday morning at 106.7 KRQ, 623. Ralph, I don't like where this is headed. I don't like this one little bit.
As we look back over 2013, we'd be going through some top 10 lists of some of the segments we do here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And I think it's only appropriate that we take a look at one of everyone's favorite segments. Thanks for that tweet, Bean.
Let me tell you a story about it.
At two, Omar.
The
at
top
two.
Ten. Thanks for that tweet, Beans, of the year. It used to be Bean would just subject us with his inanity and his horrible jokes and his pointless information in between songs or on the air on the Kevin and Bean Show. And then with the advent of new technology, now he can punish the world by tweeting out that same information. And he's done it a ton this year. These are the top 10 worst tweets being released or escaped out of Bean's phone into the world this year. Yeah.
How did you
I know. How do you narrow it down?
Seriously.
It wasn't easy, but we think we came up with a pretty good list.
Okay.
Remind me to tell you about the knife fight I once got in arguing over Eddie Rabbit's Driving My Life Away versus I Love a Rainy Night.
Now, what's the problem with that?
Shut up. And again, we don't need you to explain these. We're just merely telling people how horrible you are. These are the top 10. No one cares about Eddie Rabbit or any of those songs or any other band you've ever tweeted about, quite frankly.
Number 9.
Remember how sad you were the day you realized Cutting Crew wouldn't be putting out another album?
At least that's the 80s, Ralph.
No.
What?
One. Stop it.
What?
Stop it.
This was this year?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. This year.
Wow.
Number 8.
Not trying to be controversial, but I'm just saying that Car Wash is the best song ever about a car wash.
And that's true, by the way.
Yeah, right? Well, we sure were debating that in the halls.
F you. Hard.
Number 7.
Am I the only one rolling deep to an evening with John Denver on this Friday night? Or just the only one cool enough to admit it?
It does seem like there's a theme to some of these
tweets
that you've selected.
Do you think?
Number 6.
I need today to be a cashew day. I've had too many Brazil nut days this week. Come on, Saturday, let's do this.
Yeah, that should be number 1. That,
well, Lisa, you think until you get to number 1. You're just like, oh, my God. That was a very memorable one.
I got a lot of traction on my nut scale with followers of my Twitter account at Clyde Tubma. I just want you to know. Number 5.
Look, I can either rock and roll all night or I can party every day, but I just can't do both. Don't be unreasonable.
I still like that.
Did these gems just pop into your head, or do you really work on those and craft them?
From a Kiss song from the 70s, he's making a lame-ass joke.
Number 4.
Why are scientists still debating what killed the dinosaurs instead of just asking Larry King what he saw?
He's really old, Ralph. Man. Larry King is anxious.
You're like the worst hack comedian who they just give a Twitter account to. You're going to do Larry King is old jokes?
Yes. Have you not noticed?
What's next? Airplane food is bad?
That's a matter of fact. Number 3.
Come back to us, Billy Ocean. All is forgiven.
Shut up, Omar. Didn't it just seem like he just vanished? Like he just went away? What's up with that?
Holy crap.
Number 2, I think we're up to.
Why would we ever need to be chasing waterfalls anyway? They don't go anywhere. They're not tornadoes.
See, I'm saying that the lyrics to that song were fundamentally flawed, Ralph, and it's about time somebody stood up and took on TLC.
You're an ass.
Oh, boy.
Finally, the number one worst tweet of the year from Bean, from Thanks for That Tweet, Bean. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah! Really?
That was a tweet.
Why?
He just tweeted that. What? That's all. That's all. That just went out.
Bean sucks.
I'm going to be tweeting that all morning.
Those were the top 10 Bean tweets, and they all freaking sucked.
Tell you what's madness is whatever you're doing right now, instead of being in line for the first screening of Anchorman 2 at whatever theater is near you. The movie's out, people. What are you doing not going to see it, right?
That's right.
How about Steve Carell back on the Kevin and Bean Show? Hi, Steve.
Hi.
It's finally here.
Don't don't be idiots. Go see the movie.
Right, exactly. Like we haven't given you enough heads up that this movie is coming out today, Wednesday, December 18th. There's no excuse for one human in America to not be aware of that fact at this point, right?
Yeah, the only way the promotion's going to stop is if you go see it.
Right.
Oh, okay. That's a good way to see it.
So, how you been, Mr. Carell? Welcome back. Holidays, sir.
Happy holidays to you, too.
We're just talking about you a few minutes ago. That list came out of the highest grossing actors, according to Forbes, of 2013. And you came in at number 3 of the highest grossing actors in the world.
So suck on that.
That Despicable Me, that's got to be a lot of fun.
Boy, that thing. I mean, who would have thought that this little movie, you know, it wasn't like a big, big thing, the first one. Mm-hmm. Would turn into what it did, and then the second one. So, yeah.
And aren't they making a Minions? They're making a Minions spinoff or something, too, right?
They're making a Minions spinoff with Sandra Bullock and John Hamm, and that's coming out next year, I think, yeah.
Sweet. And, of course, you had The Way, Way Back, which we loved. We talked to you right when that came out. That was one of my favorite movies of the year, Steve. You were so great in that.
Oh, thanks.
So great in that.
Yeah, that turned out pretty well.
Let's talk about the Anchorman. Are you the hero of meteorologists all over America? Can you not go into any American city without having a weatherman come up and want to shake your hand?
I think I am the bane and the hero to meteorologists. I think they both deplore and they revile me and yet hold me up. So I don't know.
What was your mind space for Brick when you went back to make Anchorman 2? Now you've moved from the 70s into the 80s, but I suspect that a few years on Brick Tamlin does not equal maturity.
No, there's not much human development with Brick over the years. And Brick, in fact, doesn't really know where he's been in the intervening years between movies. Although in this movie he's a little bit more emotional than he was in the first one.
Well, he's in love,
there's
right?
A little bit, there's more on his plate. Yeah, he gets struck by lightning. Maybe literally, but he actually falls in love, and it's a big. He loves more than Lamp in this movie.
you must have known. I imagine you knew and have worked with Kristen Wiig before, right? Who plays your girlfriend in the film?
Well, she played my love interest in Despicable Me, and I did some scenes with her when I hosted Saturday Night Live. So
that's what I thought.
I've worked with her a little bit over the years. She's great. She's
amazing.
Man, she is amazing. She's never not funny. She's always good.
We had Mr. Koechner on with us yesterday, and we were talking about, you know, all the crazy cameos, many of which we wouldn't spoil on the radio, but just, you know, it's not easy to walk into a group like you and Will Ferrell and Paul Rudd and Christine and all these people who kind of have that improv background and have already made the movie before. And I was asking what it's like for a Greg Kinnear or a Megan Good. And he said, look, everybody was fine, but Kristen Wiig, man, we're racing to keep up with her. She's so quick.
Yeah, she's pretty spectacular, you know, and she's completely fearless. She will try anything, and she will look as dumb as she wants to look and have no problem with it. She's very, very special.
Did you always want to make another Anchorman movie after the first one? Because I know it took years and years and years to finally convince Hollywood the public demanded this, but what were you thinking personally? Were you hoping it would always happen?
Well, I was always game for it, and I think we all were. There was never a question in our minds. If Will and Adam felt like they had a viable sequel, that we'd all jump in. So, yeah, we actually all signed up having not read anything. There was there's no script in place when we all signed on to do it. We actually shot the first trailer for the movie with no script written, and that's the amount of confidence that we had in these guys to write something good.
Well, I mean, how could you not with the track record? I mean, you know what you're one of the writers on the film, too. I mean, you included. You guys know you get in a room, you make funny. You just know that.
Well, Will and Adam are pretty brilliant. And it's, I think, tonally, it took a while for people to figure out the first movie. It was, a moderate success at first. But I think over the years, people acquired a taste for it and started to understand the tone and kind of the absurdity to it. And over time it grew. Those guys are so funny and so good that, yeah, we had complete faith that they'd come up with something great.
It's so interesting. You know, we talk to so many actors on this show, Steve, and of course you have these conversations in real life with your friends, that you just don't know when you're filming something how it's going to go over. You can think it's great. It could be a disaster. You could think it's just so-so, and it just might strike a nerve and live forever. I mean, Anchorman is a perfect example. Office Space is another example of a moderate success that now is just a classic, just a beloved movie, and there's no explaining how something like that happens.
There really isn't. It's not like you say a line and expect it to wind up on a T-shirt or a coffee mug. It just happens, if it's going to happen, and people take to it organically, I guess. So, yeah, I totally agree.
You have a lot of those kinds of lines from all those years in The Office that I'm sure people love to quote with you when they run Indy on the street. Is I Love Lamp, is that the big one from the first Anchorman that people say about Brick?
Oh, definitely. As a matter of fact, a couple of years ago, I heard that during Wimbledon, there was sort of a lull in the play, and someone in the crowd yelled loud noises. Which I thought was pretty cool.
That's an awesome tribute to you, isn't it?
Yeah, I thought so. That's the way I took it. That was great.
I know we're in our final minute here, but I have to ask about one more thing. Koechner told us yesterday that Adam McKay doesn't yell action and doesn't yell cut. You just film until you drop dead? How does that work, Steve?
You just kind of go until you can go no more. And he rigged up a way of feeding us lines, too. He had a microphone at the monitor and a speaker on set. So as he'd watch the monitor, if he had any ideas, he'd just throw them out. And, you know, more often than not, they were really, really funny things. So, they create this environment where you can just kind of try anything. And if it's terrible, it just doesn't go into the movie. But
I'm not going to be friends with any. I'm not going to be friends with anyone if they can't prove to me they've gone and paid to see Anchorman 2 over the holiday season. That's it. You are out of my Rolodex in 2014 if you don't see this movie over the holidays. It is available in theaters all over the world today. Please go see it. Our friend Steve Carell is in it, and I know he's going to be great. Steve, we love having you on the Kevin Bean Show. You were so generous with your time. We really appreciate it. Happy holidays to you.
Thanks. You too.
Joe Rogan joins us right after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Jimmy Kimmel later on this morning, Bobcat Goldthwait, and an appearance from Santa Carl all on the way here on K-Rock. First, though, time for the Showbiz Beat. Now, here's Ralph.
I was thinking of all our guests today. All of them, at one time or another, have worked on The Man Show.
Oh,
isn't
wow.
Isn't that interesting? You're absolutely
Jimmy
right.
Created it, of course, with Adam, yeah. And then Bobcat was a director on that show for quite a while. Mm-hmm. And then when they rebooted it, Comedy Central brought in Joe Rogan and Doug Stanhope as the hosts. So everybody has a Man Show connection.
It's our tribute to The Man Show today.
It is.
Steve Carell probably watched it at one time
or
another.
Sure he did, yeah. How great's that guy?
He's the best.
Seems like he's a guy I just want to hang out with. And
so talented, yep. So nice. Love him.
Get a latte, perhaps a Madeline. Just sit back and relax and enjoy your morning.
I like it.
What are you doing on New Year's Eve? If you're down in Orange County, if you live near Brea, and you're looking for something to do, come see me and Kevin Smith do our Hollywood Babylon show. We do
Why?
It because it's fun.
it's really fun.
It's funny. And we're doing two shows this year because it's become sort of an annual tradition to do our New Year's Eve show. And a lot of people can't make it because it sells out pretty quick. But we're doing a late night show, which of course will lead to midnight for the countdown. But we're also doing an early dinner show as well. If you want to go out early and have dinner with whomever you're celebrating with and then go off and go to a party or something, you can do that. So if you go to improv.com and click on Brea, you can get all the details for our two shows.
No friggin' way.
On New Year's Eve. We'd love to have you come out. And
no!
Despite these people,
no!
A lot of people are very excited and looking forward to it. So those people won't be there, but maybe
no
you will.
No way.
Maybe you will. Congratulations to Bruce Willis. The 58-year-old is about to become a father again.
Really?
His 35-year-old wife, Emma, is expecting their second child together. They already have a 20-month-old daughter named Mabel. And, of course, Bruce has three grown children with Demi Moore. Mm-hmm. Tallulah, Scout, and Rumor. Tallulah, Scout, Rumor, and Mabel. Does this fifth child have any hope at all?
Now we know who the problem is.
Yeah, right. We know
where it wasn't
names,
to me.
Where the names are coming from.
Ralph, do you want to be still having babies at 58 years old?
No, I do not.
You kind of want to move on to a different phase in your life, right?
I love my daughter more than life itself, and I would not change a thing about my life right now, but it is a exhausting experience, and it's worth it, but it does not take away from the fact that it's an enormous demand on your time and your energy and
58, I cannot imagine doing that. But yeah,
it's what you have to do to keep your 35-year-old wife happy, though,
I guess,
right?
Yeah, because at 35, she wants to have kids. She's right in that age range. And I'm assuming maybe Bruce raises his kids differently than I do.
Yeah.
So perhaps he isn't quite as hands-on as I am. There may be a staff or so that takes care of those kids, so I don't know how involved he is.
He can also not work for months at a time.
That's true, yeah. He doesn't have to get up every morning.
Yeah.
4 o'clock. Or 4:30 if you're Lisa, or 5.
Quarter to 5. Yeah.
Whenever she rolls
or if
in.
You're associate producer Christine, 7. You know, whenever. So congratulations to those two, I guess. Lady Lohan has announced she is not giving up on her dream of becoming the next huge pop star. Spent some quality time in a New York City recording studio last weekend, dropping some new tracks.
Wait, Lindsay Lohan is going back to singing?
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was a phase she was in the Disney universe. They made her sing. I didn't know she actually considered herself a singer.
She put out records long after the whole Disney experience. She had one just a couple years ago.
Yeah, but nobody listened to them.
No, but I did watch the video. I'll tell you that much. Right. Word is she's even reached out for advice from her friends Lady Gaga and Max George from The Wanted. They may be participating on these records as well. So.
Hmm.
We have that to look forward to next year.
You know what I'm a little bit surprised about is that she has not announced any new acting roles.
Yes.
You know, by all accounts, she's out and she's clean and trying to turn her life around and concentrate on the work, as she says. Maybe she's just too busy with the, you know, filming the Oprah show or something like that right now. But I felt like she had gained a tiny slice of credibility with her last couple of projects. I felt like she'd be looking for something now.
She may be looking. They may not be hiring.
They may not be hiring.
That's
true.
That's the problem. Bean, here's your chance. George Zimmerman, of course you remember him from the Trayvon Martin case.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then he got into subsequent trouble with his lady friends and shotguns. And he seems like a real champ, this George Zimmerman. He's selling his first painting on eBay.
Mm-hmm.
Here's your chance, Bean. I know you like to collect the art of douchebags. So maybe you can add this to your art collection of infamous artists. I know you've got John Wayne Gacy up in your home.
Right.
Now you, can get a George Zimmerman. A George Zimmerman original.
What did he paint?
I do not know. I did not take a look over there on eBay to see what it looks like. But I do know that bids have zoomed to over $100,000 for the painting.
Really?
Yes. That's rewarding someone for being a douchebag.
Yeah.
He's just magic.
He is magic, right. And you think Kim Kardashian and Kanye West are a little wrapped up in the superficial, in appearances?
Just a bit,
according
maybe.
To RadarOnline.com, Kanye West demands that his woman be in tip-top photographic shape at a moment's notice. So they pay $250,000 to have her hairstylist, clothing stylist, and makeup artist on call 24/7. When they pick up the phone, they have to hop to it and put her together as quickly as possible.
So, essentially, she does not go out the door unless she is completely pulled together.
Unless she has been styled.
Wow. That's quite the fun life.
Now, the real question this week is their vanity rubbing off on a six-month-old baby North? Because this week, Kim Kardashian posted a photo of her infant on Twitter, and several sources and many people have looked at the photograph and compared it to other photographs. It says it looks like, and some babies have this, they grow up, they're born a little hairier than other babies.
Right.
And sometimes they grow out of it, sometimes they don't. But it appears as if someone in the camp, either Kim or Kanye or the staff, have already waxed the infant's unibrow. Has removed some hair from between her two eyebrows to make her more photogenic.
Oh my God.
That's bullshit.
Yeah, 6 months old.
Facelift?
Yeah, sure. You get all
Boot
that
job.
Loose baby skin.
Right.
You look so old. She looks 6 months. You want her to look like 3 months, so they give her a little nip and tuck. Some Botox. She's looking much hotter these days.
How many motherfuckers you done seen with a leather jogging pant?
That's an excellent point. I wonder if she wears leather diapers that Kanye has designed. Today's celebrity birthdays. These people all born on today, December the 18th. Keith Richards of the Rolling Stones is 70 years old today. How is he still alive?
He has one of the all-time great rock and roll quotes, which is, I don't have a problem with drugs. I sometimes have a problem with the police.
Yes. Steven Spielberg, 67 years old today. Leonard Maltin is 63. Ray Liotta, 58 years old today. Actor Brad Pitt turns 50. Rachel Griffiths is 45 years old today. Dave put this name on the list just for him. Casper Van Dien from Starship Troopers is 45 years old today. Dave loves that movie. Inexplicably.
A lot of people do. That's one of those films that a lot of people will watch when they come across it on cable.
It's a cult classic.
Yep.
DMZ is 43. Katie Holmes is 35. And Christina Aguilera turns 33 years old today. She used to be X-Tina. Remember she was going by X-Tina?
No, she was dangerous back then.
And then she gained all that weight and she was XL-Tina. Remember that? She's 33 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Joe Rogan.
Hey, fella.
How you doing, man?
My friends, it's always good to be back. You guys are the, like I've said this before, I'll say it again, you're the last of the Mohicans. This is one of the last cool radio shows left. This thing is going away. This radio morning radio thing that's so cool. Yeah.
Don't come in and bum us out, Joe.
Come on, I love you. I'm just telling
we're
you.
We're almost on vacation. We're all feeling good. We're
what
happy
he's saying
today.
Is we're not coming back.
No, what I'm saying is you guys are awesome, and I don't take
enjoy
you for granted.
You're going to lose your job any day now is what
no,
Joe is
saying.
No, that's
not what I'm saying. You guys will never lose your job. Your job will just transfer into the internet.
Well, we love having you in, and I'm so happy that we were able to work it out with your very, very busy schedule. Let me tell you real quick, let me get the business out of the way first, because Joe has a crazy couple of weeks coming up, because a week from Friday night, he's going to be at the Mirage in Las Vegas. Tickets available through Mirage.com. The following night is UFC 168, which we'll talk a lot about today. That's at the Grand Garden Arena in Las Vegas. Very limited single tickets available still for that fight in person at Ticketmaster.com, and that's going to be an amazing night. And then, of course, you're back home for New Year's Eve. You'll be doing the Hollywood Improv. How about that?
How about it?
You like working New Year's Eve? Or can you just not pass up that kind of paycheck?
Well, no. You know what? I like doing comedy shows. And
yeah.
New Year's Eve.
And what a great audience on New Year's Eve.
It's just another comedy show. You
really?
Know, it really
nothing
is.
Nothing special for you in
no,
your mind
it's
for New Year's
an opportunity to be silly and have fun and, you know, pretend that this is like a whole new cycle. But the reality is it's just another night, you know? I mean, oh, you guys got very specific microphones.
Yes, we do.
That's kind of silly, isn't it, to be so specific, Mr. Microphone?
Well, we
why
do
not
have
like,
help
a little bullseye
like
over
you.
There? It's obvious, like, if you go in here, it's, you
hey,
think
Joe,
you'd be
you're
in
a guy, you are a guy who I am aware of a great deal of self-reflection. You're a guy who considers your place in the universe, and you think a lot about your body, and you think a lot about your choices, and you spend a lot of time planning things. And
are you trying to pick me up?
No. I respect that about you. A lot of people just kind of stumble through life and whatever happens, happens. But you're a guy who gives a lot of thought. You're a smart guy who knows you have a limited time on the planet you don't want to waste. And I like that about you.
Well,
my
thank
question
you very much.
To you,
that's
I
very
say
nice.
All of that to ask this question.
Okay.
Does New Year's Day mean anything to you in terms of, are you a resolution guy or do you
no.
have goals for next year or anything like that?
No. My goals are always exactly the same. Enjoy life.
And now
you have not been here in a while.
Damn it.
He can't work the mic.
What I'm saying is I don't
he
do
swears.
Radio anymore. It's just you guys. What I was saying is, excuse me, pardon me, I think everything else is BS. I think when BS you're lying on your hospital bed and you're about to pass and it's your family's around you and it's over, all that other stuff didn't mean anything, man. It sounds so corny, but that's what means something. It's like right. fun with your friends, doing what you love to do, pursuing a life that you enjoy, being with cool people, and being as nice as possible. All those things together, you're all right.
Do you ever think about this? Because I do. Because I'm moving in 2014. I'm moving from Clown Town, the house I'm in now, to a different house. And I'm starting to look around and realize what a pain in the ass it is to move. And I think I realize, and I bet a lot of people realize exactly what you're saying, is we all have so much stuff that doesn't mean anything. I honestly feel like 90% of the things in this house I could drive away from and never miss.
I've got a weird theory about that. I got a weird theory about materialism in general. I have a feeling that materialism is just something that human beings are born with because we're ultimately all working together to create the ultimate technological thing. I think that when you look at what people are into, they're into buying the newest, greatest thing. So, like, we were talking, like, Dave and I were backstage talking about the Galaxy Note, like this awesome new cell phone.
Right.
Look at big the screen is. We're not satisfied with that in a year from now. We're going to want something even better. As awesome
right.
as it is now, I'm not going to appreciate it 5 years from now. I'm like, where's
no,
the new
it's
stuff?
It's going to be trash.
You got to keep going. And we ultimately, I think, are working towards some sort of weird technological symbiosis between humans and these things that we're creating. I don't know how it's happening. I don't know why it's happening. But that seems to me to be like if you follow like what's going on with the NSA and our loss of security. Just the fact that someone can intercept all of your email and store them somewhere. Just the fact that that's a possibility. Where's that going to be 5 years from now? Where's it going to be 10 years from now? Where you could just ask your phone a question and all of a sudden your phone gives you an answer. That's ridiculous.
Well, Kevin's phone doesn't because it doesn't understand it. But
it doesn't
other
understand
people
his
do.
Language.
Yes.
But my point is that I think that one of the reasons why people are obsessed with making things and buying the latest, greatest things is because this materialism supports what seems to be, if I looked at the Earth from afar, if I was an alien observer, mm-hmm. and I was looking at this crazy species called people, I would go, well, what are they doing besides polluting everything? And they're constantly working on the newest, craziest stuff. They're never satisfied with what they've created.
Right.
They never mm-hmm. kick back and say, we're done with this. No more new
this
cell
is
phones.
Good enough.
This one works.
But
let's concentrate.
You wouldn't want us to be satisfied.
I certainly wouldn't.
Because
I certainly,
because
I'm a human.
Tremendous advances in medicine and science and everything every year that
and
we all
one day,
from.
Everyone on the planet will live forever and have a million babies. And we will literally be on top of each other like moss.
Ew.
I mean, where else is it going to go? Where else
but
is it going to go?
We're not populating the planet like that anymore. Lots of countries have cut way back.
You're right. You know why? Because people still die. But as soon as they figure out a way to make people never die, no one's going to die. And that's
coming. That would be a problem.
That's coming. It might be 100 years from now. It might be 200 years from now. In 300 years from now, you're going to be able to look like My Little Pony. They're going to give you a pill, and you're going to decide what you want to be. I want to be the Hulk. Okay, you're the Hulk. They're going to give you green skin. You're going to weigh 500 pounds. You're going to have to eat a lot. But you're literally going to be the Hulk. We're going to be able
manipulate
bodies.
This is why I love
talking
to Joe, because I like to guess which of his statements are drug-fueled and which of them are just his imagination.
No, it's not of that. It's me reading things online about science and the improvements that they make every day when it comes to these crazy new bionics that they've created that allow people to move their hands in really intricate ways mm-hmm. using their nervous system.
How about
really
the computers? The computers that you can run with your mind now. That's
incredible.
A thing that exists.
Yes, you can move a cursor with your mind and you can get better at it. I flew a plane on my sci-fi show. I flew a helicopter with my brain.
Really?
Yeah, they put
really?
An EEG thing on my head and I lifted this. I had zero control of it, but I can get it to go in the air. Like somehow or another, this thing, if you get really good at it, apparently some guys can control it really well.
That's amazing.
I was terrible at it. But I can get it.
But that was your first
up.
Time.
Yeah. But it works on a signal. Like apparently your brain will send a very – you can program this thing – I'm butchering the science, I'm sure – but for a very specific signal. So instead of like trying to fly, I said, well, I'll think of naked werewolves. This is my idea. Just a werewolf with a giant penis. That's what I was thinking of. Just something that you couldn't not think about.
Right.
You know? So I'm like, that's the image. And then I'll put that in my head to mean fly. So when this thing knows that it's supposed to get – it's a very crude impulse. Whatever my impulse is that I'm sending its way, I just pick this big one, naked werewolves. And the thing just shoots off into the sky and crashes into the walls. I just couldn't control it. I didn't have
the ability
to control
brains
it.
In a jar, aren't we? That's
no
where
doubt.
We're headed.
Well, no doubt. There's something going on. And I think that with this thing where we have this massive attachment to our cell phone, you leave the house, you freak out. You ever have that? You leave
I
your
left
phone
it
at
this
home?
Morning.
Did you feel weird?
I don't. I hate
oh,
it.
Oh, she feels naked. She feels naked
it.
Right now.
But at least
which
you're in the car and you got the radio, right? And you can listen to things. There's people that you could hear talk.
Right.
But if the radio was out too, and you're in the car and you got no cell phone, that's spooky. That's real life.
Oh, yeah.
You're like,
you can't live with your thoughts.
What if
you
something
can't.
Happens?
But that's real life, too. That's you have to.
Joe's used to opening his mouth and going for 3 hours, but unfortunately, we have to take a quick break. When we return, we have so much to talk to Joe about, including the shocking news in the MMA world about a retirement of George St. Pierre, which I know you have a lot of thoughts on, Joe, and I'm fascinated to hear what you've got to say. All of that and more with our guests when we return right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Our friend Joe Rogan in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. If you want to see him on New Year's Eve at the Hollywood Improv, tickets are on sale now. You might want to check that out. Hey, Joe, since last time we had you on, UFC 167 happened in Las Vegas. You were there, like you are.
Yes.
What did you see in George St. Pierre's eyes that concerned you after he won that fight against Hendricks?
Well, he wanted to say something. Is that what you mean in the post-fight interview?
Yeah.
Well, I knew he wanted to say something. He wasn't sure if he wanted to say it. And then, like, I saw, like, this hesitation. But I had no idea what it was. I thought maybe he had, like, a speech prepared that he just, but apparently he didn't. And it was, like, a spur of the moment thing. He was thinking about it, but he wasn't sure if he was going to do it. And then right after the fight, he just decided to say that he's going to just take some time off. I think that guy's job is incredibly stressful. I think it's probably really difficult for any of us to even fathom what it's like to be the welterweight champion of the UFC for many, many years and have this just gigantic ocean of savages nipping at your heels every day. And that's what George's life has been for the past, you know, X amount of years. And as a champion, I believe he won the title in 2008. That is a long run.
It is.
In the most, one of the most talent stacked, I think the most talent stacked divisions right now in the UFC is, well, it's hard to really say because there's so much talent there now. But 170 has always been just a giant group of hitmen, just really dangerous guys. You can think of any one guy in that group that could knock out any of the rest in a, on a given night, whether it's Hendricks or Condit or Ellenberger or there's just a million of them. There's so many.
Was there something that happened in that fight though? Did he get hurt real bad?
Well, he definitely got hurt in that fight. Johnny Hendricks is a dangerous guy. He hits really hard, and he's a badass wrestler, like one of the best wrestlers to ever get into MMA, top 20 for sure. He's a serious, legit wrestler who can knock dudes silly with punches. And he's just been real successful doing that. His base is so strong. It's like so incredibly hard to take him down. Like there was one point where George was holding on to a single, and Johnny was just blasting George in the face. But his balance is so good that George is trying to take him down, and he can't. He's holding on to one leg, and he's not moving him left or right. And George is one of the very best in the UFC at taking guys down. But a lot of that is usually off the strikes. It's either timing his strikes or instigating his own strike as a fake and then diving into the takedown, getting guys to think he's striking and then taking guys down. So when he was wrestling against Hendricks, you saw like just how good Hendricks really is. That just wrestling against him, just straight wrestling. When both of them, there's no confusion, there's no fainting. They're both in the middle of a grappling exchange. Like Hendricks rarely lost those exchanges. He's a very, very dangerous guy. But
it's very rare to see somebody step away as champion, though.
I think it's smart.
You retweeted somebody said that it's easy to retire too late. It's hard to retire too early or something like that because you never know, because there's a reason these guys are champions, and that is that they are competitors and they want to fight. But there does come a point at which they're not going to win. George hasn't hit that point yet, but it seems like for whatever reason he doesn't want to do it anymore. Do you think this is a permanent step away from the sport, or do you think he just needs a vacation?
Only he knows. You know, only he knows how his body feels. Only he knows how his mind feels. What I said was that you can't retire too soon, but you can definitely retire too late. And too late is terrible. We've all seen it. We've seen it with Muhammad Ali. Right. We've seen it with Joe Frazier. We've seen it with many, 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 many fighters over the years. It's depressing.
Is he having problems?
No. No, as far as I know,
memory loss, though, you've talked about, right?
He definitely talked about it in the post-fight interview from that fight. He said that he had memory loss. And then also, he talked about it on my podcast, but he was really evasive about it. And I tried to push him, and he was talking about missing time. And he was thinking that ever since he was young, like he would be somewhere, and then he would be somewhere else, and he won't know how he got there.
And that's pre-UFC, then, if he's talking about when he's young, right?
Yeah, well, it might not be true. There's a thing that people do with their mind, and they can implant memories of their youth. And if they have something that's going on right now, they can decide that this has been going on for a long time. And then you sort of convince yourself of it so that it's not connected to what you're doing currently, that you don't want to stop doing. Like if you're involved in a sport that you really love but it knocks you out all the time, you'll decide that you've been having these issues for a long time. Obviously, this is me being an armchair psychologist / psychiatrist / medical expert, which I'm neither.
Right.
But I would assume that when someone tells you about a memory they've had for a long time that's really effed up, that it might be true, or it might be there's a lot going on there. It might be, especially if you're thinking someone's been getting hit in the head a lot, there's probably a gang of stuff going on there. And your memories are not that good, by the way. You know, my memories are terrible. If you looked into my memory, like there's some important pivotal moments in my life, but if you could actually access my memory and I could give you like a little chip and you could put it in your head, you're like, oh my God, you barely remember anything. Yeah. Like, yeah, I got like some flash moments and like maybe I can remember the name of the song that's playing, but I don't remember the exact beats as they were happening. I don't remember what the floor felt like.
Do you remember saying the S word on our show about 15 minutes ago?
I did it, dude, but we should be able to get, how come they can say that one on TV? They can say that one on FX.
I don't know why.
Well, FX is different.
Not for cable. Let it's the cable. S word go. Please.
Hey, Joe, how will Dana handle this if he doesn't want to fight again?
Well, what I was going to say is, with a guy like George, he's smart. He knows what he's doing. He's a very intelligent guy. And with very intelligent guys, I think they know when they need to step away and just chill out. And whether it's because he's having issues with his memory or whether it's because it's just a matter of just massive amounts of time in the gym, the stress and the strain of training, it's unbearable. That's why all these guys, like, after a point in time, they're all getting reconstructed. Like Mark Coleman, the former UFC heavyweight champion, just got a hip replacement. Dan Gable, Belise had hip replacements, and he's got things wrong with his knees. There's so many wrestlers that over the years have had their necks fused. I mean, I can count at least right off the bat, Mike Brown, Tito Ortiz, so many guys that have had like considerable back and neck injuries.
Look,
it's a really tough sport.
Yeah, absolutely. Every time you see one of those guys step up and be inducted into the NFL Hall of Fame, mm-hmm. he's hobbling to the podium to accept that award.
No doubt.
There's no question about that. Should we feel bad as fans that we enjoy watching these sports that people are giving their bodies for? Or do we just go, well, they know the risk and they choose to do it, so let it be?
That's a very good question. And I go with the latter, but I understand the former. I understand the idea that by being involved in combat sports or anything where people are getting damaged, where people are watching that for their enjoyment, that you're participating in a barbaric aspect of human nature that's unsavory, and that we should probably be avoiding and evolving and moving towards that. The real problem with that is that's not what it becomes to the fighter. What it becomes to the fighter is every martial artist, when you get really good at martial arts, as you start progressing and you move on to a level where you're at a championship caliber level, whether it's with boxing or wrestling or MMA, when you hit that thing, it's all about trying to achieve greatness, trying to extract every single ounce out of your potential in the most difficult and dangerous pursuit in all of sports. Outside of race car driving, where people actually die, and boxing, where also people die, MMA is just about as dangerous as you can get. It's really dangerous. I mean, we do the best we can with medical requirements and tests and doctors on ringside and trained referees that know how to save guys in the right time. But it's a very dangerous pursuit.
And all right, having said that,
there's no denying that. But
having said that,
but we enjoy watching it. That's my point.
Sure,
we enjoy watching
course.
These people take these incredible risks because we find out what human beings are capable of. When you see a guy like Anderson Silva light someone up with kicks and punches, like when he fought Stefan Bonner in Brazil and he looked like a wizard, when you see that, you just walk out of there going, I didn't know a person could do that to a dude. I didn't know that could be possible in the craziest, most dangerous sport ever, that there's a guy who can move like that under pressure.
Having said all that, Joe, and then we got to take another quick break. Do you want to see George St. Pierre come back or not?
Only if George St. Pierre wants to come back, you know, and only if George St. Pierre wants to come back and he has no issues. I think George knows what he's doing. He's also got other things behind the scenes that are giving him a hard time. I know he's involved in a legal dispute with his former manager. So it's there's legal things, there's troubles and stresses. It's not just as simple as, you know, he has taken too many punches. I think there's a long history of stress that he would like to, I think he would like some time off. I think he's also said, and this is what's encouraging for fans, that during that time off, he's going to continue to train and work on all of his skills. So what he might decide to do is, you know, just go to Thailand for 6 months. He's a very rich man. He could basically just keep training for like another year and then decide where he is. But he's going to keep training. He's not dumb. You're not going to see a big fat moon face, George St. Pierre, with a belly hanging out in Miami, you know, partying.
You don't need to be rich to go to Thailand either, man. You get everything you want for $5. All right, listen, live at the Mirage in Las Vegas on Friday, December 27th, Joe Rogan on stage. And then, of course, the following night is UFC 168. And then the live show, New Year's Eve at the Hollywood Improv. Tickets on sale now at improv.com. Quick break. More with our guests in a moment on K-Rock. Wednesday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, our friend Jimmy Kimmel joins us after the top of the hour, and Bobcat Goldthwait in the 9 o'clock hour. All people you know, all associated with the Man Show at one time or another, Joe Rogan.
Both beautiful people that are hilarious.
Yep. Fun show today. Joe's podcast, by the way, is The Joe Rogan Experience, available at joerogan.net or on iTunes. Of course, he's UFC commentator. The next up is going to be UFC 168 at the Grand Garden in Las Vegas on the 28th. And Joe's doing New Year's Eve at the Hollywood Improv. Tickets on sale now at improv.com.
I want to tell you something about Bobcat. Bobcat made a Bigfoot movie.
He made
an awesome Bigfoot movie. It's called Willow Creek. I don't want to tell you too much about it, but when he's here, excuse me, make sure you ask him about it.
Is that out yet? Did that come out?
He made it. It's done, and I think he's trying to figure out like distribution, but it's really good.
Doesn't he have
it'll freak you out.
Doesn't he have the weirdest collection of movies as a writer-director?
Oh, he's a weird guy. I love that guy.
He's awesome.
I love him. He's so interesting.
You can certainly not predict what's next with Bobcat. That's
well,
for sure.
He's his own thing. You know, he does what he wants to do.
Right.
But, like, talking to him is very interesting. He's a very, very smart guy.
I wanted to ask you about one other thing, Joe, because you're involved in all of the all the conspiracies and all the research. You're a guy who really, really pays close attention.
Dude.
Vitamins, yes or no? What's this deal this week where we've been told now that they've done studies and found that taking vitamins does nothing for you? Isn't that the opposite of what we've been hearing for the last 100 years?
Well, that conclusion is deceptive. That's not exactly what they said in the study.
What are they saying?
What they said in the study was that it didn't stop certain people who were over 65 from getting heart attacks, that it didn't there was a few – I'm trying to pull it up, but you've got no internet here. So I don't want to totally.
Well, it's only K Rock, you know.
Yeah.
Why?
Sorry, no big deal. Well, it's probably my cell phone company. Yeah, no,
we have internet. You just.
I don't have your Wi-Fi thing.
Yeah.
I could pull it up for you, but there. What they basically are saying is that having these synthetic nutrients that they've created, it doesn't prevent certain people from getting certain diseases. But if you go to like certain websites that are talking about how flawed this is, how flawed this idea is, there's an article that I tweeted yesterday from Onnit.com, which is a vitamin company that I am a part owner of. And we don't sell vitamins per se, but we sell nutrients, and we sell mostly plant-based nutrients. And plant-based nutrients, the closer you can get to actual plants, actual food that you would eat, the easier it is for your body to absorb. But okay. The idea that nutrients aren't good for your body, well, no one would argue that. What they're arguing is that these synthetic nutrients with toxic binders and these weird gelatin capsules, that some of them are too compressed, or some of them your body's not absorbing a lot of it.
So
there's probably some merit to some of that.
Most of the conventional vitamins that if I'm just buying one a day off the shelf at the drugstore, am I getting anything out of that, or is it so watered down and so compressed that I don't get the benefits?
That's one of the things I'm saying is that all vitamins are not created equal. And like when you're getting something like – there's a lot of like green supplements that you can buy, spirulina, things that are coming from actual green food. Mm-hmm. Those are going to be way better for you than something that is just made in a lab and slammed into one of those – you know those certain pills that are so compacted that people clean porta potties, they find them in the bottom of porta potties, those little blue pills?
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, they find them in the bottom – it's famous finding them in the bottom of porta potties.
Oh, my God.
Because your body just doesn't process it. It's like a rock. It just goes through your whole system, and then you poop it out at the end. Like they've actually come out of people like corn.
I only eat Flintstones
vitamins. By the way, that
vitamins,
might not be true. I have to totally do my research. I haven't been looking through any porta potties myself. It could be propaganda.
Do you have a weird diet, Joe?
No, I don't. But what I wanted to point out is that there's been several studies that prove that there's a great deal of benefit that could be had from supplementing with vitamins. And we posted a lot of those up at Onnit.com on that Twitter link that I put up. But about people that have ADD, about even curbing things like juvenile delinquency, that like a lot of the way people behave and think, and even depression, that it's helped alleviate depression in some people to eat a balanced nutritional diet. You can't stress that enough. It should all come from food. If you can get it all from food, that would be great.
And not
but
eating
no
processed.
One does.
Right, but there's some things – like no one does, but there's also some things where you would have to eat like incredible amounts of certain nutrients, certain plants to get the effects that you would get from, say, something like a 5-HTP supplement, something that boosts your serotonin. You can get that from food. There's like moss that you can eat that's like really high in certain things. But you know how much you'd have to eat? It would be disgusting. You'd have to eat this beach ball-sized patch of moss.
I would go out and start grazing. That's my next thing.
There's without a doubt, there's benefits to vitamins. There's a reason why people know that if you don't have vitamin C, you get scurvy. It's because they've cured it with vitamin C, because they've given it to people and they've prevented scurvy. They know that you can get vitamin B12 shots and it gives you energy. Like, this is all science. It's not like they randomly guessed what each one of these compounds are called. They created whatever the vitamins are. They created the spectrum of vitamins because they know that they're different. They're different molecularly. They have a different function. They all have a different effect on the human body. It's all about how are you getting them. and you should get them from the thing that's as close to food as possible.
So that's a good tip.
I'm a big fan of green foods, and I'm a big fan of eating a lot of like live, healthy things if you can. But supplementing,
I'm
going to
be so disappointed in you, Joe Rogan, if you don't live to be 100 years old.
Didn't Jack LaLanne poop off before 100?
He did.
But yeah. He was in great shape right up till the end.
Yeah, he
still
was in his 90s,
super
though.
Active. Yeah, he did
I would like to just everything be good until the day the wheels fall off.
Right.
The closer you can get to, you know, the less breakdown you can get before the wheels actually fall off.
But exactly.
When I had conversation with Ray Kurzweil for the sci-fi show that I did about the possibilities of people living to be 1,000 years old and downloading consciousness into computers, he's completely convinced. And he's 100,000 times smarter than me. So when I talk to that dude about the future, like, it gives you optimism, but also just this intense sense of wonder as to how freaky it's going to be when you see 300, 400-year-old people walking around 300, 400 years from now.
Joe Rogan Questions Everything is the name of the show. You can see full episodes at sci-fi.com if you want to. Let me do the roundup here real quick. Live show a week from Friday at the Mirage in Las Vegas. Tickets available now at mirage.com. The following night is UFC 168, which is going to be one of the greatest nights in UFC
Indeed.
History. Am I right about that,
Indeed.
Joe?
Indeed.
Can't wait for that. And then, of course, New Year's Eve at the Hollywood Improv at improv.com. Tickets are on sale right now. Joe, thank you so much for all
time
the visits.
Time goes too fast, my friend.
I know. It
I love
really
you guys.
Does, man.
Thanks
we love
so
you
much.
Too.
Always good
Happy
to
Happy holidays
here.
To you. Wednesday morning on the World Famous K-Rock. Thanks a lot for tuning in to the Kevin Amin Show. Ralph is here. Time for the showbiz beat. And then our friend Jimmy Kimmel joins us in studio right after the top of the hour.
Very exciting in that other room.
What's happening?
Well, Jimmy's here and Joe Rogan's here and they're talking. Uh-huh. It's like when Kirk met Picard. it's a very exciting moment to see those two giants of the Man Show crossing paths finally.
Man Show hosts from different generations. It's
Man
weird.
Show the Next Generation and Man Show the Original Series. Now if we could have Man Show Voyager and Deep Space Nine Man Show, we could get all the captains together. That'd be great.
I like it.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about showbiz news. Leonardo DiCaprio's got a tough life.
Oh, yeah.
He's got to memorize all those lines and look like that. He's got that face.
Mm-hmm.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah. He has that new movie, The Wolf of Wall Street, coming out, which looks awesome, by the way.
It really does.
He was talking to Extra, and they were talking about the few hot sex scenes he has in that movie with some smoking hot actresses. And Leonardo revealed that no body double was hired. It was all him, he said, in the sex scenes. He performed all of his own sex scenes in that film.
Oh.
What a professional. The guy just doesn't... Oh. He does not let the audience down. He will go to any degree to deliver a performance, even getting naked with beautiful models and rolling around in bed with them in front of a camera.
You cannot question his commitment to his craft at this point.
He is for real.
By the way... Yes. He has a great radar for picking scripts, Leonardo DiCaprio. Very rarely does he pick a script that turns out to be a bad movie.
Yes, I'll give him some credit for that, but also you have to remember that all of the best directors and best writers bring their best projects to him first.
True.
So he gets the pick of the litter. So if the cream is rising to the top and then you get to choose from that, it's a lot easier to make good choices than if you're, down in the middle of the pack, and
right.
everyone else
and you
has
see
already
truly
passed
terrible
on scripts.
Projects, right?
And so the films that can't get the A-list stars because of lack of quality or financing or whatever fall to you. Then sometimes you got to take what you get.
True.
Yeah. Good point.
I think we were talking to our buddy Dave Koechner yesterday, who's got five kids, and sometimes you got to do a Piranha 2 for every Anchorman 2 that you do. You got to make a living. Leo doesn't have that problem about making a living. I don't believe. I think he's pretty good. This was a weird story that broke this week. Colin Farrell fell in love with Elizabeth Taylor before she died.
Why?
What?
Yes.
She was in her 70s?
She was in her 79, I think, just before she passed. Colin was at the Cedars-Sinai Medical Center for the birth of his son, Henry. And she was in getting a stent put into her artery at the same time. And he found out she was there, and he sent her a message, and she was a big fan and sent him one back. And so he started to visit her in her home, and they would talk for hours at night on the phone.
Really?
And he said it was the last real, deep, romantic relationship he had in a long time.
I'm a little sad that Kevin's already on vacation to not ask who's Elizabeth Taylor.
That is, it's all disgusting.
Why did you talk to an old person in the hospital?
Now, he admits they never consummated their affair.
Oh, thank God.
But he said he was head over heels for her.
Well, she has something.
And had
right?
they had they been born at different times, he definitely thinks they would have been together.
Wow.
A lot of people fell under the charm of Elizabeth
yes.
Taylor.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's interesting. That's a special friendship for him to always remember, though.
I still would have knocked it out. I don't care how old she was.
Really? Yeah. 80-year-old Elizabeth Taylor?
Man.
I would have got a little piece of Elizabeth Taylor.
You could have really broken her.
Little piece of the legend. That's all I'm saying. I would go around just pointing to this right here and say, see this? Elizabeth Taylor. And by this, I mean this. I don't know if you see
no,
that.
We understand.
I don't know if you understand. I'm talking about this right here. This is what I'm talking about.
We can see.
Finally, they're making Gilligan's Island the movie. Thank God. What? Did you hear that sound?
Bye.
Oh, that was a screenwriter just shooting himself in the head. Who's got a brilliant script sitting on his desk that he can't get made. But they are rebooting Gilligan's Island. They're making a feature film based on the legendary 60s sitcom. Josh Gad from Book of Mormon and many motion pictures and TV shows. He will star... And apparently he is writing the script as well.
Okay.
It's not okay for me. It's a bad idea.
I mean, it's interesting. I'm thinking about some other examples of where young stars just have this obsession with some piece of pop culture. Like, is it Seth Rogen, who is obsessed with the Muppets, had to make a Muppets movie, for instance?
Seagal, right?
Jason Segel.
Jason Segel.
But, you know, it sounds like maybe that's the same thing. Is there Josh Gad just loves Gilligan's Island, wants to make it. So
yeah.
I guess he will.
These things usually don't go well. I'm thinking of all the 60s reboots that I can imagine that they made movies out of. Like Get Smart didn't do so well. Beverly Hillbillies didn't do so well. Green Hornet didn't do so well.
What was that?
Brady Bunch did well, but they sort of made a spoof out of it, which was, I think, what its saving grace was, that they were doing a spoof of the series rather than trying to reboot it in a modern age and trying to make a new Brady Bunch, you know?
What was that that Kelsey Grammer submarine movie that they made that was a reboot?
McHale's Navy,
another sitcom that did not work at the big screen?
Sure. Tom Arnold was in McHale's Navy. Didn't you bring that up in one of your interviews, Beer Mug?
I did. Bean, yeah. Do you have that?
Do you have a Beer Mug's interview with Tom Arnold?
I bet I do.
Because,
I loved McHale's Navy.
Yeah, that's right.
He's committed to it, too.
You're a horrible human being. Today's celebrity birthdays, Keith Richards of the Rolling Stones is 70 years old today. When asked how it felt to be 70, Keith said,
Yeah! Cocaine.
Steven Spielberg, 67. Leonard Maltin is 63. Ray Liotta celebrates his 58th birthday. Brad Pitt turns 50. Rachel Griffiths is 45 years old today. Casper Van Dien, star of Starship Troopers, is 45. When are they going to remake that? Or did they already and I missed it?
They had a sequel.
They had several sequels, yeah. DMZ? Nope. DMX? Different thing. 43 years old today. Katie Holmes turns 35, and Christina Aguilera celebrates her 33rd birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
Hey! That song from that show that's on ABC Late Nights at 11:35, the host of Jimmy Kimmel Live. It's Jimmy Kimmel joining us in studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, James.
Hey, how you doing? What's happening? I was almost hit by an ambulance on the way here.
Oh, my God.
And it was one of those ambulances that you're not sure if it is actually an ambulance or not. It's more like an Astrovan with, I think an ambulance should be red or yellow. But this ambulance, I was coming down Crescent Heights, it just jolted into the intersection. It had no siren on. The lights were on, but there was no noise at all.
I think they have a lot of private ambulance companies now. I think a lot of that work is farmed out now.
Well,
They shouldn't be allowed to go through red lights.
I think it's like Uber now. Anybody could just slap an ambulance sign on the side of their car and pick up a sick person if they want.
Yeah, put a pink mustache on the front of it.
Right, exactly.
I was wondering, though, if he had hit me, if he would have doubled back and
picked
me up, or how would... I mean, it's like a tow truck getting towed, you know? I didn't know what would happen.
Well, that would have been a terrible way to go, and really a horrible holiday had.
Because everyone would have laughed, is what you know.
If Jimmy got killed by an ambulance,
by an ambulance,
it is ironic.
This, by the way, is to me, when I come in here, I obviously have a lot of memories of when I worked here, but this was the worst time of the year for me, Christmas time, because we always had the Christmas cassette, which was a huge, huge pain in my ass.
And Jimmy, for folks who don't remember, Jimmy did the bulk of the work on the Kevin and Bean Christmas albums. I mean, I'd say 90% of the writing and organizing and recording was Jimmy. So, yeah, it was a huge pain in the ass for you.
It's funny. I wonder how many people realize I even worked here. There probably are people that don't know that. But and so I did that. And also the best of. Well, you guys were preparing for vacations.
You had to do the best of?
Yeah. When I came in, I was like, your best of it sounds terrible. It's the worst. It's actually not the best of. So I went through all the tapes. In fact, that's where I discovered the Armenian Comedian on one of your old best of tapes.
Wow.
Unbelievable, the stuff that you remember, Jimmy.
Really?
Unbelievable.
I remember Bean getting trapped in his truck.
I remember that.
Which was, I don't think you could ever do it justice by explaining it, but... how long were you, Bean tried to crawl in the window, you know, the kind of window of his truck to...
Of Tad's truck. This was Tad's truck
that
happened.
Oh, Tad's truck. That's
it
right.
It was Tad's truck. Well, Tad had like... This was... Wow, we're going back a ways here. Back when Jimmy was on the show, we used to put out a holiday album every year. We used to do these signings. We'd show up, and at the time, mostly it was like at Warehouse Records
or
something.
Yeah, a warehouse in like La Brea or something.
Right. So we showed up, and Tad, big dumb Tad, picture beer mug plus 200 pounds to give a reference to people who weren't listening back when Tad was on the show. He locked his keys in his truck. And I said, hey, no problem. I've got long arms. I'll help you out. So I'm trying to do Tad a favor. So I climbed through the tiny little window in the cab of his truck to try to reach the keys, and I got stuck in there.
And stuck like sitcom stuck, like your big ass in shorts.
I could not get out.
For like 45 minutes or so.
Yes.
How did we ever get you out of there?
Somehow they figured out a way to get the window out of the truck. So then I was able to step back, and then I'm standing in the parking lot with the window literally around my body. I had to shimmy out of it. But what's amazing, and I can't imagine what year that might have been, Jim. It must have been mid-90s, right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Mid-90s. So I don't think we were quite at everyone has a camera on their smartphone.
No,
yet.
We weren't.
And that's why why there is not a single photo of that.
If we had a camera there, I definitely would have raped you.
Oh, God.
I mean, just for posterity's sake.
How is it that Tad is still working for you?
How is
at the
it that
Jimmy
Tad
Kimmel
is still not
show?
Working for you? That's a
come
question.
On. How
that's
do you,
the real question.
You have a professional job for a major American television network where there's a lot of responsibility, where you have people like superstars walking the halls
word,
to see you each night.
The key word there is American, and there is no one more American than Tad. He lays around in his bed eating chips, asking his mother to make him food. He posts on Facebook all day about how excited he is that the McRib is back. This is the spirit of America embodied in one enormous little boy, as I still
think. What does Tad do for you on Jimmy Kimmel Live?
Tad is a security guard.
So he's just muscle.
Well, I have to say.
Not really. He's not muscle.
He's a combination of different tissues. Yeah.
He could sit on you.
One thing about Tad, and I really thought about this, and I thought about it seriously. I thought, Tad is the only one of our security guards that would actually take a bullet for me.
Well, there's something to be said for that.
So I think of him as more of a human shield than a friend.
But Jimmy, here's what I don't understand about you. I get the yucks of being in radio and having a doofus like Tad and how that's entertaining to you for a minute. But now you're Jimmy Kimmel, okay? And now you're vacationing with Jennifer Aniston and you're best friends with Howard Stern and you've got all of these actual like friends.
Yeah.
How do you have time in your life to think about what Tad's doing? Like, how do you literally have the time to follow what's going on Tad's Facebook page?
I make the time, Bean. I make the time. It's called keeping it real. Maybe you've heard of it.
It's astonishing to me. When you fall in love with something, you fall in love hard and you fall in love forever, don't you?
It never really goes away. And I'll say my Uncle Andy, who's an uncle that I don't see that much, when we did the show in New York last year, was kind of observing what was going on. And he's looking at me and he goes, you know, I think I figured something out. You like to surround yourself with people that are a little screwy.
Speaking of that, give me on a scale of 1 to 10 your level of surprise that Doc on the Rock is still doing news on the Kevin and Bean Show.
I was just talking to Ralph about this. I'm not surprised that Doc is still doing news. I mean, I'm surprised. By the way, that's so funny. Give me that lecture about Tad, and I see Doc in the hall. But Doc is exactly the same as he was. I mean, I think he's the same age as he was.
He might be.
He doesn't look any different.
He looks a little bit younger than when I was here. And I said to Ralph, I was like, how old is Doc now? And he's like, you know, 60s. I was like, wasn't he in his 60s when in the 90s when I was here? I mean, it's something's going on with him, and he should be examined.
There is something about the longtime K-Rockers, and Rodney on the Rock comes to mind, too, as somebody, if you saw a photo of him, you couldn't tell if it was taken in 2013 or 1965.
By the way, there's
something weird about those people.
It's not just them. Lisa looks exactly the same, actually better than she did.
Oh, thank you.
And you and Kevin somehow, what is going on here? Something weird is happening.
You think it's in the water?
Here. And I'll tell you another thing. There's nothing that interests me more than driving over and hearing Bean have an extended conversation with Joe Rogan about the UFC. It's like you can't possibly have any interest in the UFC,
and yet
you know all the guys in it, and you know what's going on with it. It's like hearing C-3PO talk about sex. what relationship does he have to this?
Has become very popular.
I am aware of that alien who's observing us and taking a lot of notes, but there's no possible way you're watching. Do you rent? Do you get that pay-per-view at your farm or wherever the hell you're moving to now?
I like to stay current, Jim. I like to be in touch with the kids. You know that.
There is such a thing as being too in touch, Bean, and that's
Jimmy Kimmel is here tonight on his television show. Tim Robbins also. Bill Simmons stops by with Jalen Rose. That should be fun. And Haim will be there. That's not a Jewish supergroup, right? Those are those girls from Ireland, right?
No, they are Jewish.
For reals?
Yeah, for reals.
I did not know that.
Oh, well, maybe you should keep in touch with them. Maybe if they fought each other, you'd know who they were. Maybe they gouged each other's eyes out.
We're going to take a quick break when we come back. Jimmy, now I understand, this is not confirmed, I've not seen him with my own eyes, but did you carpool in with a special friend today that's going to be joining us in studio next?
I did not. He actually came in his 16-wheeler. There was a huge diesel engine towing a big cab of nothing out there. And so, but I did notice that Santa Carl is here.
Santa Carl joins us on the Kevin Bean Show for his yearly visit. The kids are not going to want to miss this. That's coming up next right after this on K-Rock. And it's the most wonderful time of the year, ladies and gentlemen. Look who has just joined us on the Kevin and Bean Show for 2013. It's Santa Carl, everybody.
Yay.
Santa Carl.
Ho, ho, ho. Well, what's happening, Kevin and Big and Tammy? Ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas. Santa Claus, so happy to be here with all the boys and girls, and let's go to the phones.
We're not quite ready to go to the phones, Santa Claus.
Well, we are going to be taking calls. Do you want to go to the phones? But okay, then. Santa Claus, sit here and talk. How everybody doing?
We're great, and so happy to see you.
So good. Kevin.
I want to catch up with you, Santa Claus.
Where the hell is Kevin at?
Kevin's on vacation. He's actually already gone.
What? Hold up. Santa Claus, come in, talk to Kevin and Bick. And right. Santa Claus just talking to Ann Bick?
it's just Ann Bick and Tammy.
Well, that's a dang thing right there.
I know.
That is a dang thing. And Kevin, I don't know where Kevin is right now, but going to be a whole heck of a lot of coal in Kevin's stocking. And
all
up
right,
his butt,
Santa
too.
Speaking of stockings, you want to talk to children this morning who would like to speak to Santa Carl about what they want for Christmas. What kind of little boys or girls are we looking for this year?
Santa Carl looking for good little boy and girl. Not a bad. Here's Santa Claus whole thing.
All right.
Good little boy and girl get toy.
Okay.
Bad little boy and girl get nothing. They don't get nothing at all. And that's the lesson that the parents have. That's what Santa Claus did with his own kids, little Carl Jr., little Carla, little Carlito. That's how Santa Claus do. No good boy and girl get good gift.
So some of your kids, Christmas comes around and they literally have not a thing under the tree, Santa Claus?
Hold up, Bick. Santa Claus saying good, hold up. Now, good little, now Santa Claus want accountability. That's all.
Okay.
For actions. That's right. And that's what Santa Claus looking for. Little good boys, little good girls, call with phones, have to have phone, can't call in without no phone. Okay.
Right.
Don't call Santa Claus. It's looking for a phone. Need a phone this year because if you call in, you got a phone.
Okay. Gotta have a phone. All right, so use your phone. Give us a call at 1-800-520-1067. What age range do we want the children to be, Santa Carl?
Santa Carl want children's not too old, but not too young.
All right.
Yeah, so call up.
Okay, well, that was helpful. Thank you.
Specify. Maybe say 4 to what? Like 7 maybe?
Would 4 to 40. Well, 4, yeah, 4. Here's the thing. Santa Claus don't have a lot of time to waste. Got a lot of toys to deliver. Don't want to be blabbering with some kid who don't know what the hell going on. So get your kid on the phone, tell him Santa Claus on, and tell him what kind of toy you looking for, and then Santa Claus will try to accommodate.
All right, so 1-800-520-1067 if you want to get your kid on the air with Santa Claus. Now, real quick, before we take a break and go to calls, what is Santa Claus himself? You, the former Karl Malone NBA great, how do you spend your time now? What are you up to these days?
Well, Santa Claus have been driving around in truck, 16-wheel truck, Mack truck, driving around looking for things to tow. And also, it's winter right now in Utah, but shooting squirrel down in Louisiana. Santa Claus loved them little. Well, Santa Claus hate them little squirrel, but he loved them dead. He loved to eat them, bite the head. Santa Claus been biting the head off squirrel lately.
Really?
That's right.
So that's for reals. You really do eat the squirrels you kill.
Yep. Just like Ollie Osborne on stage, Santa Claus loved biting head off rodent of all types.
Yeah, the immortal Ollie Osborne. I like him very much as
Santa
well.
Santa Claus also lately been expanding, and Santa Claus been hunting hamster and gerbil too.
Now, do you find a lot of those on the farm in Utah?
No, but find lots of them at preschools, etc.
Okay. All right. So, Santa Claus, you look great. You sound great. We'll take a quick break. We'll
Thanks,
come back
Vic.
With-
That's so good. And so happy. Santa Claus, so happy to see everybody.
Well, we're happy to see you as well. 1-800-520-1067. We'll talk to your kids next on the Kevin DeBean Show. You are listening to the world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ. It's the most wonderful time of the year and the most special day on the Kevin DeBean Show all year long, too. Hit it, Steve.
Here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus for the boys and girls. He's got a sleigh full of toys and goodies and a bag of squirrels. He don't care who the children are, he loves them all the same. So be glad and don't be sad when Santa screws up your name.
Oh, that's good.
Santa Claus.
Here he is, here it do. Santa Claus here to talk to all the boys and girls and the big, and Kevin ain't here, and Tammy, who's here doing the traffic and all that right now.
That's right, Santa Claus. Hey, listen, before we go to the calls at 1-800-520-1067, I'm actually glad you're here because there's been a bit of a controversy this holiday season because of Fox News. Megyn Kelly coming out and talking about how Santa Claus can't be black. Well, clearly, I'm looking at you, Santa Claus. What do you have to say about that?
Well, that's a dang thing right there, because Megyn Kelly say Santa Claus, white, but Santa Carl, black. Now, do Santa black? That's a good question, and the truth is, Santa don't know. Santa ain't black nor white, Santa dead. And that's a good message for the kids right now.
No, Santa Claus.
Santa Claus ain't real. That's a real saint.
Santa Claus is very real.
Saint Nicorette. Were the saint of
Saint Nicorette. Chimney. I know that much.
Saint Nicorette were the patron saint of chimneys.
Okay, I think you got your facts.
And that's
there,
what
Paul.
Happened. And that's when. But you know what? That Santa Claus whole thing. It don't matter. Color don't matter. You like a bag of Skittles. You don't care if you get yellow Skittle, green Skittle, purple Skittle, red Skittle.
Okay. Why don't we leave it there, Santa Claus? Thank you very much.
A brown color Skittle will be
that's a weird thing.
That's an M&M right there. That's a brown Skittle at M&M. And that's what Santa Claus you're trying to say.
That's great.
Okay,
what do you say let's talk to the kids. Why don't we start with Liliana? Little Liliana is on line 3. Santa Claus, she wants to talk to you. She is 4 years old and she is on the phone right now.
Hello, little girl. What's your name?
Liliana.
Ciliana, how you doing? Santa Claus want to know. Santa, have you been a good little boy or girl this Christmas?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you done all kind of good things for your brother and sister?
Yeah.
And you been nice to everybody in your family? You do, when mama tell you pick up after your toy, you pick up after your toy?
Yeah.
Okay, that's good. So tell me, Ciliana, what you want for Christmas time then? For Santa Claus?
A doll and a Barbie and
a doll,
an iPad.
Hold up, Santa Claus, trying to write all this down. A doll and a Barbie and an iPad too?
Yeah.
Well, that's a greedy little girl, so Santa Claus don't think. You know what? Santa Claus going to suggest whittle down that list, whittle it, and then call back because Santa Claus ain't bringing all that.
Please,
what?
Please,
okay, now
she
Santa Claus.
Please.
She said please? Oh, that's please. Cute. Okay, well, Santa Claus going to think about it, but you got to be good, good, good all the rest of the year, okay, Ciliana?
It's Liliana. Thank you for calling, darling. We appreciate it.
Oh, that's cute right there. That's a greedy little girl. That's a greedy little girl. But
a lot of things on the list. 4 years old, she wants an iPad, by the way. Yeah. You see a lot of that, Santa Claus?
Santa Claus sees so many kids now playing with computer. When Santa Claus were a kid, Santa Claus didn't have a computer. You know what Santa Claus had? Santa Claus had Etch-A-Sketch. And if you try to get on internet with Etch-A-Sketch, that don't work. That don't work at all.
Let's move on. Let's go to line one. This is little Solomon who wants to speak to Santa Claus. Solomon is on the line, and he is 7. Solomon, you're on with Santa Claus. Go ahead.
Now, hold on. What kind?
Hi.
Hi. Your name Solomon?
Yes.
Like that dude who chopped a baby in half.
Okay. He doesn't even know about that story yet, Santa Claus.
Okay. Well, Solomon, have you been a little good little boy or girl this Christmas?
Wait, what? Have you been a good boy? Yes.
Yeah, well, okay. Tell Santa Claus about what good things you do then this Christmas.
I follow directions.
Okay, that's good.
And I clean the litter box.
You what?
I clean the litter box.
Santa Claus don't know what this kid's saying. And that's the thing. Don't call Santa Claus and laugh on the phone. Santa Claus don't want to hear laughter
He's
of children.
He's excited. Solomon is excited to be talking to Santa Claus.
Santa
Let him have it.
Want to hear a list, and Santa Claus maybe want to hear some tears.
Solomon, tell Santa Claus what you want for Christmas this year.
That's good, Big. Thank you.
$2,000?
What? Hold up. Now, this sounds like a little joker to me. $2,000 for Solomon? You want $2,000?
Yeah.
Well, Santa Claus say, you best go play the lotto then, because then Mega Millions, that's where you're going to get that money. That's what Santa Claus don't say. $636 million. How much lotto ticket?
Well, unfortunately, that lottery was won last night.
That's
$1. $1, yes.
How the hell that makes sense? Buy $1, get $636 million.
Because millions of people around the country feed into the jackpot by buying tickets, Santa Claus.
You know what? Carl Malone, Mama Malone, used to say, a three-legged dog can't lead a horse to water, but can make him drink.
Okay,
Solomon, you ain't getting nothing this Christmas.
Oh,
and Solomon,
no, that's not true.
That's Solomon. Santa Claus putting his big old foot down and putting his elbow through your throat.
Thank you for the call, Solomon. That's not true. Santa Claus didn't mean it. He loves you, and he loves all the little children of the world.
No,
Let's
he
move
don't.
On now. Let's go to Angel. Angel is on line 8 for
you, Santa
Claus.
Oh, what a cute little girl. Hello, Angel.
Angel is 7.
Hello, Angel. Have you been a good... Your little girl this year?
Yes.
Yeah, and tell Santa Claus about what a good girl you've been.
Oh, boy.
What?
I'm a boy.
You a
Santa,
boy?
Santa Claus, Angel is a boy, he's telling
Hold
you.
Hold up. What the hell? What the hell kind of name? Name him Boy Angel. That's a dang thing right there. And that's, you know what? Santa Claus want to talk to your parents right now, because that's a hell of a thing to do to a boy named Angel. Angel, girl. Angel got wings. Angel wear a dress. Well, Angel hover around the dead.
Angel's very common with boys now. That's a popular name.
That's why Santa Claus don't like it. A lot of things very common. All sorts of things very common right now. Santa Claus do not approve.
Angel, Santa Claus loves you, and he's glad you called. What do you want for Christmas, little boy?
I want Hot Wheels.
Okay, that's cheap. Yeah. Yeah, Santa Claus, bring you Hot Wheels.
All right. Mission accomplished. Thank you very much.
Santa Claus don't even care if Angel being good or bad. Angel being cursed with a dang name. That's for sure.
So he deserves Hot Wheels. All right, we only have time for one more call, unfortunately, Santa Claus. The time goes by so fast. Let's go to little Rocco. Rocco is on line 5.
Hello, Taco.
Rocco, and he is 4 years old, Santa, so please be careful with him.
What's up, Taco? Happy Christmas time. Have you been a... Sound like he say trick or treat. You done have a butt sausage. Is that what you said, Taco?
Is that what you said? Yes. Okay, what do you want to tell you want for Christmas?
Uh-huh.
What?
What the hell? This a party line some kind?
I think they got the radio on Santa Claus. What is?
Oh, they got the radio on. You know what, Santa Claus? We're out.
A little bubbly from McDonald's and
what?
And a Sonic the Hedgehog up animal. It yeah. had to be what, and his name is Knuckles.
I think what Taco said is he won't get McDonald's and he want to choke an animal. that's a dang thing right there. Yeah. And Santa Claus mad. Now, it's okay to hunt animal, okay to shoot squirrel. That's good. Santa Claus loves shoot squirrel. In fact, Santa Claus make happier than his little dancer squirrel and pow, and they come on right down from that tree. It's like they could fly. But
I don't think
for
the kids
Taco
need
to
hear
say
about you.
That he won't choke a squirrel, well, that's a dang thing, and Santa Claus ain't bringing nothing to that house.
I think we misunderstood, but Rocco, thank you so much for the call. Ladies and gentlemen,
Merry
Santa
Christmas.
Carl, stopping by the Kevin Bean Show. Happy holidays to you, Santa Carl.
Happy holiday to you and all the cows and all that crap you got up there, big.
Here comes Santa Carl. Here comes Santa Carl.
Good. It's not necessary to play that every time the Bastille song comes up, you guys.
It's not necessary to sing like that. When it sounds nothing like the song.
We were doing Kevin Abino Roki,
yes.
And I cannot sing. And you guys knew that
but
when you asked me to sing.
A-O-A-A-O is not You know, those are just different sounds, right? Regardless of whatever tune you're doing.
I am not a winner. All right. Bobcat Goldthwait joins us in studio coming up right after the top of the hour as the final Kevin and Bean Show for 2013 continues. Time now for Ralph Garman and the Showbiz Beat.
Bobcat, by the way, I was just looking at the schedule for the Improv in Brea.
Mm-hmm.
He is doing his shows right after Kevin Smith and I are doing our shows. We do ours on New Year's Eve. We're doing Hollywood Babylon. Kevin Smith and I, we're doing Hollywood Babylon at the Brea Improv this year. So if you're looking for something to do on New Year's Eve for the dinner show or for the late show, come on out and join us. And we'll ring in the new year. And then that weekend after we leave, Bobcat comes in and is doing a whole weekend down there in Brea.
So that can never happen!
It's a good time to be in Brea. That's all I'm saying. I might move to Brea. Everything's happening in Brea. It's a hip, hip, happening place all of a sudden. I'm going. Not all of a sudden. It's always been hip and happening. But now it's even more so. Katy Perry.
Yes.
Cannot sing.
What?
What? What? There she is now.
Did you see the video of her performing at the NRJ Music Awards in Cannes on Saturday?
Now, I think I did. Was she lip syncing or was
came
she singing
out to
for reals
sync,
on that one?
Her hit song Roar comes out lip syncing, but there was a devastating technical malfunction regarding the playback track.
This was Milli Vanilli all over again with the backing track getting out of sync with the performer, right?
The vocal track was out of sync with the musical track, so she's trying to lip sync listening to the music where the words would go, but the words are off by around 3 seconds.
Oh, wow. Uh-oh.
So different sounds are coming out of the speakers when she's trying to lip sync. The whole thing looked like holy hell. So then the MC comes out and puts a stop to the whole thing. It's such a nightmare. And he says, could you please start again? We've got a real bad technical problem. Could you do it again? And because of they couldn't fix it, she had to sing it live, just with a musical backing track.
Oh.
And the results were...
less than impressive?
Yes, I guess
you
could say less than
impressive. Dancing a lot?
She was dancing.
Because that makes a big difference
but
if you're out of
breath. But in the beginning, she was just singing, Lisa. When she started the song, she was just singing. And as one observer put it, she's got the eye of the tiger, which, of course, is a line from her hit song, Roar. She's got the eye of the tiger, but appears to have the timing of a tone-deaf cub.
Oh.
It was not a shining moment for Katie.
Well, that makes me sad.
I'm out bad.
Because I want her to be perfect.
Yes, we all do. And it turns out, very few of us are perfect. So we feel bad for those of you who aren't. Leonardo DiCaprio wants you to know that in his... he's not charged with anything, Bean. In his new film, The Wolf of Wall Street, all the sex scenes you see in that movie are actually him. No body double was hired. He wants to know that he is fully naked having sex with smoking hot girls in that movie.
My nipples are so hard.
Now, is he just bragging? Is he just doing it to make us feel bad? Is that what he's doing? As if we don't feel bad enough compared to Leonardo DiCaprio?
Yes.
I don't know what the point is. I mean, it's one thing to spread the word that you did an action sequence, for instance, that you're, you know, didn't use a stuntman. That
when
makes
Tom
sense.
Cruise rappelled down the side of the tallest building in Sydney, Australia, that was newsworthy.
Right. Fact, he deserves the credit.
In fact, you got naked and rolled around with some hot babes in a movie. That's, stop it. Now you're just gloating. I guess someone saw his ass and said, oh, is that really your ass? And he said, yeah, yeah, that's me. And no body doubles. I'm down there getting nasty with hot girls.
Oh, good for you.
That's what Christian Bale had to say. Yeah.
He's a terrific actor, though, isn't he, Ralph?
He's outstanding.
He's really good. Hasn't he been nominated for a bunch of Oscars, never won?
Yeah, he'll get his. Maybe this year. By all accounts, his role in this film is pretty terrific. And while we're talking about actors really quickly, Forbes magazine has released their list of highest earning actors. Now, this is not how much they've earned, but how much the movies they've starred in has earned. So you take all the box office for the past year from their films and you add it up, and this is who ended up on top. Top 10, Jennifer Lawrence, $700 million. That's what her movies made all combined. So I'm guessing that's Hunger Games came out last year, right?
Yeah.
12. So this must have been Silver Linings Playbook, I'm guessing. And
right.
And the things. New one.
The new one, yeah. Christopher Hemsworth was ninth with $701 million. Then John Goodman and Billy Crystal are 8 and 7, each with $743 million, I guess, from that Monster U animated film that was a smash hit. Paul Walker came in at number 6. Then Sandra Bullock and Vin Diesel. Steve Carell, $964 million. Lion's share of that box office coming from Despicable Me 2. Robert Downey Jr. is second with $1.2 billion in ticket sales for his films.
And that's all Iron Man-related movies, right?
That's Avengers,
yeah. Right.
And then Dwayne The Rock Johnson is the number one highest-earning actor in Hollywood.
That is shocking.
It is. His films, Snitch, G.I. Joe Retaliation, Pain and Gain, and Fast and Furious 6, took in a combined $1.3 billion in global ticket sales.
How about that?
I didn't see one of those. I am not his audience.
He does not make movies for you.
No, I don't think so.
No. Nor Bean, really, for that matter.
Yeah.
But it is funny, though, if you were to ask, you know, five people on the street who are the biggest movie stars in America right now, no one would come up with The Rock.
No.
But he's certainly bringing in the most money.
Today's celebrity birthdays, director Steven Spielberg is 67 years old today.
Hack.
Yeah, what's he done? Guitarist Keith Richards of the Rolling Stones is 70. Leonard Maltin is 63 years old. Ray Liotta is 58. Brad Pitt is 50. That's not right. Don't look like that at 50, you bastard. Rachel Griffiths is 45. DMX is 43. Katie Holmes, 35 years old today. Christina Aguilera is 33. And Casper Van Dien, star of Starship Troopers, turns 45 years old today. The only reason it's on the list is because my boy Dave the King of Mexico is obsessed with Starship Troopers. Oh, that's a great movie. There are giant bugs and they shoot them. Yeah. Never seen a James Bond movie. Never seen a 007 movie, but Dave's seen Starship Troopers several
times.
All
the time of the world for Starship Troopers.
I'm so glad it's our last day. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Is this hour going to be great or unlistable? It's the final hour of 2013 for the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph, what do you think?
It's going to be great because it's the Pete and the Pig Show.
Hey, Pete here. Ladies and gentlemen,
and podcaster Bobcat Goldthwait. You're not a podcaster, are you, Bob?
No, I am the one guy that's not.
Hey, Bob, how are you, man?
I'm good. I'm just trying to figure out, you know, how to get a deal to do a podcast show.
Can't come. They're all taken up. There's no more room on the internet.
The band is full.
That's right.
Let me get the business out of the way first. The reason Bob is here is, A, he loves us and can't go a whole year without stopping by. But, B, he's trying to move some tickets at brea.improv.com. Bobcat is going to be right after the first of the year, playing on the weekend of Friday, January 3rd. The 3rd, the 4th, and the 5th tickets. Only $20 to see the great stand-up legend, I want to say, Bobcat Goldthwait at the Brea Improv. Now, the Pete and the Pig reference that Ralph is making, I think, bears some explaining for us.
I thought we were just going to skate around that. I didn't even think we were going to bring that up. But I direct I'm one of the directors over on the Mark Maron show, the Maron program on IFC, and
I love that show.
Very
by the
funny.
Way.
Said,
well,
very
you,
funny.
I don't know how long you're going to love it.
All right, tell me why, Bob, because I'm a little bit nervous just based on what Ralph has told us.
There's a morning team that gets kind of made fun of, perhaps on the show, and there is one of the part of the team lives in Seattle and does yes. the show remote, but
yes.
it has nothing to do with you, Bean.
Oh, there's no connection.
And what are these two like?
The two guys do not like each other. One does the show in Los Angeles. The other one does it remotely from Seattle.
Mm-hmm. Come on!
Does one again, sound kind of drunk?
Pete
or?
And the Pig.
Now, yeah. listen, and but, you know, I'm about to throw Ralph under the bus.
Oh, come on!
Just before we did it, I go, hey, man, you want to change this? You know, you got to work with the guy. You know, I could change it. We could change it. And he's like, no, let's
hell
do
no.
this.
All right, now hold on. I need some explanation here. I need a heads up before this thing hits the air. Ralph, are you playing Kevin or are you playing Bean in this imaginary scenario?
Well, neither. I mean, I'm an actor. I created my whole character, you know, my own character out of whole cloth.
Oh, just
it's
answer
neither.
The question.
But I'll have you know that Pete is the one who works in Los Angeles and the Pig is the one who works from Seattle. So right. I guess
and you're Pete.
Again, and I'm Pete in Los Angeles.
And again, so. Your name is Big. So it couldn't possibly be you. No, your name's Bean. So
right. It has nothing to do with a pig.
No, it has nothing to do with a pig.
Except that you, of course, plays... own and love pigs right. and live in
who,
Seattle.
Who plays me?
Although Kimmel said that Bean's the only person that wouldn't be insulted being called a pig.
No, absolutely.
Pigs are our friends. They're very smart animals.
So why?
But anyway, to answer your question, the magical Tom Kenny, the legendary voiceover artist, of course, SpongeBob and many other...
Shakes the Clown, hello, that's where I know him best from.
Any other projects.
So wait,
he's the voice of the pig on,
that
the,
really
on the morning
just
show.
That really hurt just then when he said Shakes the Clown. I was like, I'm really going to shatter this relationship.
Why is Maron picking on us?
No, it's not. No. It's an homage.
Right.
It's an homage.
It's a tribute.
Yeah. You know, you only rib the
like
friends.
Super Diamond loves Neil Diamond so much that
exactly.
they do a cover
and
band.
Tom Kenny loves Bean. loves
oh my God.
Bean.
Why is this
so
happening?
So Maron has to spend the morning with these morning DJs.
And he's having a hard time. well, I don't want to ruin the episode
no,
for folks. But
it doesn't go well.
And also, he's very confused because he can't see them. So I wouldn't know what that would be like.
No, to do a radio show without looking in the face of the person you're talking to.
Yeah.
But let me ask you this, for reals, guys. I have some serious questions. I know you guys are yucking it up and all. Let's make Bean feel bad. But let me ask you a couple of
serious
questions.
I don't want to make you feel bad.
I'm serious, though.
I want to make him feel bad.
Let me ask. Did Mark Maron, who, by the way, I am a huge fan of.
Just making it worse.
He comes in and does our show two or three times a year, and I always am excited. I always look forward to it, and I always really try hard to make it a good experience for him and hope that he enjoys it. Is he driving away from K-Rock every time he visits just miserable because he had to suffer through our show, and that's why he wrote this episode?
No. It's just a...
Truth, Bob.
It really... He doesn't have an axe to grind, and it really was, if you want to know the truth, it won't make for funny radio, but I think it really had to do with how uncomfortable it is to be being interviewed and no one's in the room. I think that had to do with it.
Yeah.
What we do every day.
Did that sound good?
Yeah,
that's
good.
Yeah, that's good.
I buy it.
And I'll tell you the other thing that makes me worry, and Ralph, you know this is true.
This is great. But nothing, Bean cares about nothing.
Oh, he's going to spit out so hard now.
But radio. So now that it's like creeping into his sphere of reference, he's getting wigged out.
But here's why. Look, some people have never believed the story that I moved to Seattle in 1999 because I didn't like living in Los Angeles.
Right.
Some people have never accepted that it didn't have anything to do with the job. It didn't have anything to do with Kevin. It didn't have anything to do with anything else except for the fact that it wasn't my jam living in that place. It was too hot for me. There's too much traffic for me. I just it wasn't a good fit.
Look,
for me.
I've had plenty times where I'm in a work environment and I don't really like the people, and I understand.
That's not what I'm saying.
What I'm
from.
Saying is now
that
I feel like
a lot.
Right.
But now I feel like this is just going to add fuel to the fire, and that for the rest of the time we do this show, more and more people are going to say to me, oh, so you guys hate each other. Oh, you guys can't stand to be – and could be
further but how
from
often
the truth.
Is
you
that...
guys are the best of friends.
But how often does that come up in Seattle?
No, but because of this show, and you know, we just did Acoustic Christmas, for instance, a couple right. weekends
okay,
ago.
Okay, so once
and,
a year.
We met hundreds of fans, and I got asked several times, dude, what's wrong with you and Kevin? Why don't you guys get along? And I'm like, that's not nothing to do with this at all.
I don't think this will add, you know, I think it, yeah, it's gonna. Yeah, 100%.
Look, so, Ralph, you couldn't wait to be in this episode.
I didn't even see it.
I couldn't stop giggling during the performance.
He had to wear lead pants.
We had to do many takes because I kept shrieking with glee.
But it
Kevin
was funny,
I,
though. How many
Kevin
times
and
did
I get
pitch,
along fine, right?
How many
Tell
times
the truth,
did I pitch
Ralph.
Changing it to
he
you?
He did. He kept saying, you know, if you're uncomfortable with this, we can easily change the city. Or I was like, no way! We're absolutely keeping this. This is the best.
I thought you guys were my friends.
Yeah, well.
Well, I had your back. Ralph really insisted.
I said, listeners will get a kick out of this when they watch the episode.
Yeah,
they're
and,
get
and
a
you
kick
know what? I
this.
Think your imagination is making it way worse.
Absolutely.
It's not a hatchet job.
No.
Okay. All right. The Marin series is coming back, what, in the spring or something on
Yeah, I believe so.
IFC, right?
Yeah, IFC.
We'll look for that episode.
It's a very funny episode. You will really enjoy it when you watch
Bobcat Goldthwait is here on the Kevin DeBean Show. He's playing the Brea Improv the weekend of Friday, January 3rd, but tickets are on sale now already. If you want to make plans for post New Year's Eve, it's brea.improv.com. When we come back, Bob, we want to talk about why you've been spending so much time with Bigfoot.
Sure.
Right after this on K-Rock. Hey, Bobcat Goldthwait?
Yes, the pig?
Please, just being.
Why don't we just let it go?
This time of year, do a lot of people come up because they've just seen you on their TV in Scrooge?
Yeah.
You recognize a lot this time of year?
Yeah, to the point where it's like, I saw you in Scrooge. You know, I finish it for him.
You know what's coming,
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. It doesn't bother me, but yeah, it's some of my finest acting. I was really close to coming in here while Santa Carl was, have a guest. 80s Bobcat was going to come by. I don't know if I've ever told this story, and I don't even know if Jimmy knows this story, but when I was directing the Kimmel show, I don't know if I've told this, Nickelback was on, and they might be very nice guys. I don't know the Nickelbacks, but I was in the booth, and their road manager or manager came in where I would direct the show from, and he goes, don't shoot Chad profile, only shoot him straight on. And I had to find out that's the lead singer, you know. And I was like, oh, okay. And I go, why? He goes, because of his nose. I go, all right. So the cameraman, who could all hear this, started busting my chops. Hey, can I direct the show tomorrow? You know, and they're really giving it to me pretty hard. So if you see the Kimmel show, the last song from the band plays off before we go off the air. And I said to the assistant director, I go, tell me when we have 10 seconds left. And she goes, okay. And I go, shoot the nose. And seven cameras snap zoomed in on this guy's nose. And I made a nose montage. Like, ready, seven, ready, four, ready, six, two, one, three, five. And it was just a da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And then it got dead silent. And the guy's going, hey, man, what are we going to do now? And I go, I'm getting in my car.
So that was you striking back at the pain that Nickelback had inflicted on the rest of the world.
No, I don't have a beef with Nickelback, but I'm not like
being told how to do a show.
Yeah, I was like a little, you know, I remember once, I think Nikki Sixx wasn't happy about something, and his manager came in the booth and he goes, I'm putting you on the phone with the director, Bobcat Goldthwait. No. Yeah, no. Yeah, the same guy. Really? And then he hands me the phone. And I go, hi, Nikki. I go, well, I'm sorry. You're disappointed. You know what? I was going to have the elephant doors open, and then you guys would just appear there in silhouette, and there would be backlit and smoke, and that's how we were going to introduce you. And he goes, yeah. And I go, and we have Wagner playing. He's like, Wagner. I go, you know, Apocalypse Now, da 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 da. He goes, yeah. So I hand the phone back, and he was happy. And the manager goes, why didn't you tell us that before? I go, because I just came up with it. So that was my job on the Kimmel Show.
Placate.
Or, yeah, it was very, yeah.
And then you left the Kimmel Show, and you've been doing a lot of directing, a lot of stand-up, a lot of acting. And now you're making another movie. And this one, is this possible this is the weirdest movie you've ever made? And that's saying something.
No, I don't think so. I think this is a little bit more accessible, actually, a Bigfoot movie from me. Yeah, I mean, come on. town. I shot a baby. Yes. Spoiler alert. In God Bless America. Yeah. So
by the way, and just to interrupt, if you haven't seen that film, do yourself a favor and get that. It's still one of my favorite films.
Oh, thanks.
Joel Murray's performance in that is just outstanding, and the whole movie is just great.
Oh, thanks. So
and I never should have said this was the weirdest because I had forgotten about Sleeping Dogs Lie.
Yeah, a romantic movie, comedy so. With a tasteful amount of bestiality. So
exactly,
you know. But although, yeah, maybe the end is weird in this one. Yeah, okay. So it is a Bigfoot movie. It is the much dreaded found footage movie. But I'm not even a fan of found footage. But I just felt that the story lended itself to it because found footage. It's always like, who found this footage? You know, who said, hey, I'm sorry, your daughter got raped to death. But I think if we re-edit this, we could have a tremendous picture. You know, so she would have wanted it that way.
Where are you coming at Bigfoot from, Bobcat?
Are you making this movie? Yeah, yeah. It's not cynical. Like I think people think I was going to make a snarky movie, but when I started hanging around the Bigfoot community, as far as like subgenres, subgroups, and people have patience for them, people go, "Hey, what are you guys all about?" It really goes like Comic-Con folks, then Ren Fair folks, Al-Qaeda. Then Bigfoot people, you know what I mean? That's hey, tell me more about your group. So when I met these folks, I didn't really want to take them down. You know, I am a weirdo. I'm an outcast, so I wasn't going to do that. You know, I went to conventions where like most squatchers believe that Bigfoot has a pointy head, that he doesn't have a flat head, and because the pointy head, that's Steven Spielberg BS. So. This guy had a cardboard cutout at the convention of a pointy-headed Bigfoot, and this one guy walks over and he goes, "You disgust me." And he goes, "What?" He goes, "Look at that head." And so he goes, "Really? I've seen Bigfoot 3 times, and you're never going to see him because you smoke." And then before the keynote speaker, this one guy came up and started talking about UFOs, and about a fourth of the room went, "Oh boy,
those people!
Who brought this down wing nut? We're trying to talk about Bigfoot.
Trying to talk about real things here. Not
yeah,
aliens.
Please, not about little green men.
Thank you.
But it sounded to me, Bob, when we were talking off air, that this goes beyond. Hey, I'm making a movie.
Oh,
it sounds to me like you've started to bond with some of these people, and you're spending some of your personal time in the woods now, looking for fur.
Sure. I just went camping with a guy who's in the movie, Tommy Amarone, who's the Bigfoot Bob Dylan. He writes music that's centric to the Bigfoot history.
Uh-huh.
And we were out in the woods recently. Now, you got to understand, this is 11 miles north. I mean, 11 hours north of here. And then you get to get to Bluff Creek, it's 2.5 hours down a 17-mile dirt road. So it is remote. I mean, there's the nearest town is another 50 minutes away. And it's got, you know, I think under 2,000 people. I'm out in the middle of nowhere. And while we were making the movie, we saw two mountain lions.
Ooh.
So it's, you know, and then, oh, you know, so we put bacon on the fire. You know why? Bigfoot likes bacon.
Sure.
You know who else likes bacon? Bears. Bears like bacon. No, so Tom, when it was really great the other last time I went out, because when we were sitting around the campfire and he ran out of Bigfoot songs, and guess what he sang? Jewel. Just did a couple Jewel numbers around the campfire.
I would not have guessed that.
I would have not seen that coming.
It breaks into "I Was Meant for You."
Yeah.
And you're out in the middle of nowhere, Bob. I would get a little nervous, I think.
Yeah, well, I did. And then Bigfoot's harmonizing the back. No, that did come up when we were making the movie because I was out with a couple of the Bigfoot guys and there was two women with us, Alexi Gilmore, who stars in it, and my friend Amy. And it's about 3-4 a.m. and they go, "We never had women here before." And I go, "I'm going to stop you right now. That's usually when the raping starts." And they didn't laugh. But my favorite thing was it is scary where you are. And like I said, we had seen mountain lions. So I'm sitting there and one of the guys, Ranger Robert, he's like, "I'm a writer too." I go, "Oh, really? What do you write?" He goes, "You know Twilight?" I was like, "Yeah, we all know Twilight. You know, sure." "Well, I write tween fiction like Twilight set in the Bigfoot community."
Uh-huh.
And I go, "And by the way, I'm not lying." I go, "Oh." I go, "What's the name of your book?" He goes, "Well, the first one's Yeti or Not. It's a coming-of-age story."
I think you just found your sequel, Bob.
Yeah, you're not. Here I come.
But Willow Creek is a scary movie, and it'll come out in March, and I've just been around the world and at different horror film festivals.
So it's done.
All over. Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm still cleaning it up a little bit, but it's, it's done.
What's the reaction been overall?
Folks seem to like it. It's I found out that comedy and scaring people are super similar. You know, I mean, you give them misdirect and then you scare them. But the thing people seem to gravitate in this movie they like is there's a 19-minute take that doesn't break and there's no cutaways and it's super uncomfortable. You know, so there's screams. It's kind of funny. You know, I remember the first time I saw it with a crowd and it sounds racist, but I was so happy. There's this black guy in front of me. I mean, at one point, there's a twist in the thing, and he goes, uh-huh, Bigfoot, really loud. And I was like, yeah, I'm home, I did it, you know, so, Bigfoot.
Let us know when that comes out and when we can see it, because
sure.
That sounds like a lot of fun, Bob, it really does. All right, I can't believe we're out of time. Hey, Ralph, should we say goodbye to Bob? Or you want Bob to stick around for the showbiz?
No, stick around here in Pete and the Pig. We got some showbiz news coming up next. Love to have comedian Bobcat Goldthwait sticking around.
What's up with Miley Cyrus?
It is crazy.
He's just stewing. He's just not happy.
I'm actually just waiting for Beer Mug to hit the goddamn button. You're listening to Kevin and Bean Show, 106.7 KROQ. Our friend Bobcat Goldthwait in studio with us now, playing at the Brea Improv in January, the weekend of January 3rd. Tickets available right now through brea.improv.com. Hey, Bob, did you see your little friends in Nirvana got into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame this week?
Bob?
Can Bob not hear us?
Oh, no! Sorry! Sorry.
Was the volume turned down?
Were you talking? Honestly?
I was talking to you.
Did you think I had a stroke? You guys finally thought Grandpa checked out? No, I had the volume down.
I thought maybe you were just ignoring Beam.
I was just staring off into space. They really thought, uh-oh, Bob scratched Gold Farm.
It's finally snapped.
That's going to be your lead story.
We lost him, and he was only, what, like 70,
I'm guessing,
right?
Yeah, no, I'm here in the Dorian Gray of radio stations where nobody ever ages.
Well, anyway, I'll just ignore that I asked you a question and just move on.
What did you ask? I'm sorry.
It's germane to my next story, Bean, so please repeat.
I was asking, you saw that your little friends in Nirvana got into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame this week.
Oh, no, I did not see that. But
they did.
First ballot.
I'm, on the In Utero re-release, I write some of the liner notes if folks are interested in that.
Folks who don't know the connection, Bob was friends with those guys back in the day and used to open for them, too.
Yeah, I used to tour and do stand-up at Nirvana concerts, and so many times it would go like, they'd go, oh, this guy's hilarious, don't bring the band on.
Really? That would happen a lot?
Yeah. People always ask, hey, how'd you go? How'd you think it'd go? I got hit with M80s and boots. They successfully threw a kid out of the pit once. I got hit with a teenager. This kid hit the back of my legs, and I turn around, and he's like, and he scrambles off like a crab. So,
well, Bob is here, and he's sitting in for the final Showbiz Beat for 2013. Let's see what Ralph's Garvin's got for us.
One of the other bands that will be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame next year, Kiss, finally inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. The big question everyone's asking is, who will actually be allowed on stage to accept the induction? Because Gene Simmons has famously said that he will never again share a stage with founding members Ace Frehley and Peter Criss.
Hmm. Yeah, it sounds like he has slammed the door on those guys.
He hates them.
I think Peter Criss, clearly, when they decided to go in the costumes, slept in. You know what I mean? Like, he showed up, hey, what's going on? Well, we're costumes now. What are you, Gene? I'm the God of Thunder. I breathe fire.
I'm a demon.
I'm a demon. Yeah, and what are you, Ace? I'm Space Ace. I'm from another galaxy. That explains how fast I play guitar, because I'm a wizard. Paul Stanley, what are you? I'm the sexy star child, and I'm sent from the inner space to seduce the women of Earth. What am I? You're a cat.
You're a cat, Pete. We got whiskers. We're going to draw some whiskers on you.
Just a cat? Really?
Yeah.
Like
a little green nose and some whiskers.
A Hello Kitty cat. Yeah. Do I have any special powers? No. Well, if anybody touches your back in the right spot, you shoot your ass up for no apparent reason. Because you're a cat.
You can lick yourself. Anytime, day or night, Pete. Yeah. So will they be invited? Well, Gene says no, but Paul Stanley just said, Peter and Ace are undeniably at the beginning of the band.
We built a foundation which has stood the test of time and has allowed us to build a monument for 40 years. So today I wholeheartedly embrace and acknowledge Peter and Ace, and likewise a lot of other people who have been in the band and are also standing by the band and the fans of the band. So they lumped them in with everyone else, but who knows.
I read an interview with Ace just yesterday, and he said he fully expects to be on stage at the induction ceremony and playing with
us. Who does?
Ace does.
Ace does?
Yeah.
All right.
We'll see if Gene allows it.
Yeah. If Gene Simmons says you're not welcome, is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I don't know. Is he like saying like, you know, we would, but these guys don't really class up the place.
Yeah, right. Like I do. I said yesterday Simmons will be selling T-shirts in the parking lot for $5.
But that is why those inductions are great, to see that kind of stuff and the tension. And they serve alcohol. I enjoy watching that program.
That's a good idea. Kim Kardashian apparently has waxed her 6-month-old baby's unibrow.
Ugh.
Yeah, photos of the infant on Twitter this week show that the Kardashians apparently have done some proactive wax work on the little baby's eyebrows to make her more photogenic and attractive.
They're like little hairy people.
Yes, all the Kardashians at birth are like that. That hurts my heart.
How old is that baby?
I'm extremely hairy.
6 months old.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's time.
I think so.
I thought you were going to say, like, it's bikini area wax. Then I'd have to draw the line.
How's Kris Jenner going to get her modeling contract if she has a unibrow? And lastly, congratulations to Bruce Willis. At 58 years old, he is going to have another child with his 35-year-old wife, Emma, expecting their second child together. They already have a 20-month-year-old daughter named Mabel. Bruce, of course, has 3 grown children with Demi Moore, Tallulah, Scout, and Rumor. No word on what the second child will be named, but I'm guessing it's something like Chaos or Culture or something odd.
Bob, aren't you so happy that no one will have sex with you anymore? You don't have to worry about having these late-in-life kids?
How
dare you? You want another kid,
you?
Bob? You want another kid? You ready? You have another one?
You know, the thing about children is that I like children. I like babies. They're delicious. Like a nice, with a nice gravy.
A lot of protein. A lot of protein there. Mm-hmm. Look, when you're out in the woods looking for Sasquatch,
yeah.
You can get your protein anywhere you can
find
it.
You know what Bigfoot likes? Bacon and babies. Babies, they smell delicious.
Imagine how a baby wrapped in bacon. That's Squatch bait right there. Today's celebrity birthdays. Keith Richards of the Rolling Stones is 70 years old today. 70. Who thought
70 years young.
Who thought he would live to 70?
Yeah, a lot
it's
of people.
Unbelievable.
I lost a lot on the pool. I didn't have Brian.
I saw the Stones over the summer at Hyde Park, and I'm telling you, at any age, those guys are still great, and they still play like champs. I mean, really, it's not just like they're barely hanging on at their age. They still sound great.
How long's their show?
Oh, I mean, 2 solid hours.
Really? Still doing a 2-hour show at that
Absolutely,
age?
Yeah.
It's nuts. Steven Spielberg, 67 years old today. Leonard Maltin, movie critic, is 63.
I think Bobcat is the Steven Spielberg of Bigfoot movies.
I do, too.
I take that as a compliment.
Absolutely.
And he made a Bigfoot movie.
Harry and the Hendersons was his, right?
Kimmel called my movie Willow Creek scary in the Hendersons when he saw the trailer.
Ray Liotta is 58 years old. Brad Pitt is 50. Rachel Griffiths, very talented actress, is 45. Casper Van Dien, star of Starship Troopers, celebrates his 45th birthday today. You run to him at any of the conventions you've been to? I know he signs a lot of autographs at those conventions.
No, I haven't. No, I don't go to... I'm not at the conventions yet. I'm not opposed to them, but these are...
You'll be there.
I'm an auteur. I've had film
You'll
festivals.
You'll be there. You'll be there. Katie Holmes is 35 years old, and Christina Aguilera is 33 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. And again, thanks to Bobcat Goldthwait for stopping by today. He'll be live at the Brea Improv. 5 big shows in January. First weekend, January 3rd, 4th, and 5th. Tickets available through brea.improv.com.
And while you're there and you're looking for something to do on New Year's Eve, Kevin Smith and I are doing our show Hollywood Babylon on New Year's Eve at the Brea Improv. Yeah.
And then there's, look for the new season of Marin, and I just directed Patton Oswalt's new comedy special. And they're working on Marin. You know what's weird? The script woman said, I listened to the show in the shower, and I'm not comfortable saying hi to Denise while she's nuding it up. That's weird.
Yeah.
Ralph, I feel like we should say so long to the Kevin Bean listeners who have once again been so terrific to us this year. I mean,
better than we deserve.
Absolutely. I mean, Bob, you know that next year, the Kevin and Bean Show, I think it's year 20. What is it, Lisa? Year 24.
24.
Next, yes, 24.
24 for the Kevin and Bean Show. And as trite as it is to say this, none of that is possible. We don't get to come back unless the Kevin and Bean fans continue tuning into K-Rock and downloading the podcast and supporting K-Rock and its advertisers. And we very much appreciate it. You know, we met a lot of folks over the past couple of weeks with Acoustic Christmas and the Miss Double D pageant. And it's fun to meet those people in person and hear, you know, how much they really enjoy the show. And it means a lot to us that you're out there listening. So
it's inexplicable, really.
That.
Yeah, it's just a habit now.
I think people just listen out of habit. Yeah. They just can't.
They're too lazy to turn.
Because there's really no reason to.
I would make a different choice in the mornings, that's for sure. But we appreciate you listening.
Way to do the hard sell.
Wait until Pete and the Pig hit this market, man. Yeah. We're going to be screwed.
No, you love your job. You're really happy to be here, Bean.
I am. I do love the job. I'm saying I would listen
to another show.
I love doing the job. I wouldn't listen to the show, but I like doing the show.
Oh, my God.
That's because Bean and Kevin hate each other.
I'm flying up to Seattle and wrestling that gun out of your mouth right now.
We'll be back in January. Best of Kevin to be. Until then, thanks so much for listening. Cap next with 40 minutes. Time's up. Right after this.